Marin. It's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses. It's Monday morning. I got to turn my mic up. We came in here like, hey, what's going on? All right, everything's cool. I guess everything's working. I can't hear myself talk.
Can you?
Now I can.
Now you can.
Ah, there's me in my head. Yes. Good morning, Mark Riley.
Good morning, Mark Maron.
Tell me, did you have a good weekend,
Mark? I had an excellent weekend.
Did you really?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
Nothing.
Oh, man.
I was with my wife and daughter. We had a ball.
What did I do? Let's think.
You did a few things.
I did some, I did some comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Down at the Comedy Cellar.
Tell us about
the outburst.
Yeah.
Everything was going fine, you know. I mean, it's doing my show. Let me just first say that there's been some interest about the kittens. It seems that the kittens have been taken care of. The kittens that were behind my apartment, I think, are now being fed. I think they might have even been picked up by a caring vet.
So really?
I'll follow up on that.
Oh, that's good. That's
there's
good.
Been some blog reaction. Not that I'm a blog bitch or read the blog whenever I'm at home wondering if people are posting on it. All the deep and challenging information. I just love that there's like, you know, stories about a rock. There's stories about like the swift boat guys. And there's like, what about the kittens?
Yeah.
You know? Well, the kittens, I think, are fine. I will look more deeply into it. So Saturday night, I'm on stage at the Comedy Cellar doing my my standard hypercritical Republican material.
Mm-hmm.
The new joke of which was about how that Bush could actually get on stage to give a speech and just go, you know what, I pooped my pants, and start dancing around in circles like an idiot. And the first reaction his supporters would have would be like, look what the Democrats did to him. Damn Democrats, they made him poop his pants. But at least he's being honest about it. That's what I love about this president. He told us straight out that he pooped his pants. So I'm doing that joke, and at some point, some woman over the stage right in the corner just goes, no, and I'm like, what? So she goes, you can have your opinion, but, I've got mine, too, and I said, well, yeah, but I got the mic, and this is my joke, it's my performance time. She's like, yeah, I know, I get that, I understand. And I'm like, what is it with you Republicans that you can't just keep your mouth shut through a performance? This is a performance. It's not some public, forum.
It's not a town hall meeting.
I'll be off in 2 minutes. You know what I mean? It's like you can't make it through the 10 minutes of my show because the context of information that you think is acceptable in your brain is so marginal. So narrow. That you can't even hear this.
The president pooping his pants, that's not funny.
Well, exactly. It's just that, to me, it just revealed something about this type of personalities that, number one, they're bullies. Number two, they have to, ruin everyone's good time because of what they think. They cannot engage in other ideas because it doesn't fit into their parameters of what they think is true or whatever. But I was furious, but I didn't even unleash on him that much. I just said, well, look, I got the mic now. This is my opinion. It amazes me that you guys can't not interrupt a live show because you disagree with something. This isn't, like I said before. And then then all of a sudden her husband gets up. These are older people. These are like people in their 50s. Stands up. So, of course, I put the mic back in the stand just in case I have to, do something.
Pick up a chair.
Yeah, take a hit or run or do whatever. But isn't that weird? Those are my two options, take a hit or run. The idea of me hitting somebody is the last on the list. But he goes, well, I'm not going to hit you, but I can leave, can I? And I go, yeah, you can leave, but, you've already ruined the show. All right, with your inability to listen to anybody. So why don't you just sit down and wait the 2 minutes till I'm done, and you can maybe you'll see something else, and maybe I'll make you laugh with this last joke. That bummed me out that I actually tried to kiss their, kiss her, their butts, in the way that, come and just sit down.
This is a tough world, comedy.
Well, the thing was, usually, if it wasn't a Saturday night, I would have just torn him a new one and just, ruined the night for everybody.
Now, when you say torn him a new one, I assume talking about verbally, you weren't looking to pick something up. And
No.
I just
tore
him a new one.
What I had to do is I had to be diplomatic because I was the second guest on, mm-hmm. It was a Saturday night, and all of the audience was behind me. I was doing very well before these buzzkill Republican dirtbags, decided to, ruin the show because they weren't able to listen to somebody else's point of view without feeling that they had to assert themselves somehow.
Were they in early for the convention or something?
No. They're just, well, that's the other thing. It's like these people, they come to New York and they believe that, They can just go to a comedy show and somehow everything will just sync up with exactly what they think is funny, that there's not going to be any critical assessment of the world or any sort of reaction to the BS. And first of all, this isn't their town. I mean, they're tourists here. This is a democratic, you know, liberal, they're progressive city for the most part. And it just amazes me that part of the excitement of going to New York should be to engage in other points of view and other, you know what I mean? But not for these people. They think they have some sort of, you know, ownership of it now because the Republicans are coming, and because, you know, after 9/11, they felt that, you know, somehow or another that New York was now their area to pay, that gave them an intro.
Marin, you're scaring the hell out of me. Now you're making it sound like this place is going to be overrun with Yahoo Republican tourists for the next 3 weeks. You know, there was a story.
They're always here.
There was a local story the other day. New Yorkers, I'm talking about New Yorkers now, are plotting their escape from this city during the Republican convention. Like you're talking about a major military operation here. People with no money are saying, you know what? I'm finding a way to get out of here for these 4 days because I'm not sitting through all this. The one guy...
Sitting through it, it's going to be immobile. It's going to immobilize the city.
No, one guy said, look, and this was a homie now.
Yeah.
Bush is coming, I'm getting out.
Right.
It's as simple as that. And now you're talking about people who would interrupt a comedy show because they have a problem with it. And I'm thinking to myself, that now, are we going to have to broadcast from, like, Hoboken or something to be safe?
Well, it'd be
are
safe.
We going to have to get out of here?
Well, at least we're going to have to probably put some bunk beds in here and some cots. But it's just, they're always there. But I haven't seen this kind of verbal reaction, not since, like, shortly after 9/11, where people were really... at the end of the ropes and angry and scared and everything else. But this is just belligerent crap, what these people did. It's like, shut up. Shut your stupid holes. This is a show. You are part of an audience. Respect the boundaries. I didn't reach out to you and ask you for your opinion. I mean, heckling's one thing, but, you know, you can deal with that. Mm-hmm. But just the fact that they felt empowered enough in a room full of strangers who were laughing and having a good time. So at the end, what I did was... You know, instead of making, you know, a big scene and ruining the show for everybody out of my own anger at them, I just said, look, you know, be sure if you have an opinion to say it or you're letting these people win.
Yeah,
and I pointed to them. Because I believe that. There's a type of, like, of repression that comes from belligerent patriotism and inability to, you know, listen to other people's point of view, which is really what Republicans do. It's really how this new right-wing sort of contingency works.
Now, you know, we can make a real smooth transition here. You know that, right?
When
you talk about belligerent patriotism and out-and-out straight-up hoishness.
Sure. What do you want to talk about? Let's push it through after the break.
Alan Keyes!
Well, there you go. That's our topic for the next couple minutes, but you're going to have to wait for it.
That's
right here on Air America Radio.
Urgent news for people who have taken the acne drug Accutane. Accutane was promoted as a safe way to treat severe acne. 100% of Accutane users will experience adverse side effects if you or your child has experienced liver, kidney, or pancreatic damage, inflammatory bowel disease, diabetes, birth defects, musculoskeletal injuries, psychiatric or cardiovascular problems. Call the Accutane Litigation Group at 1-866-422-2843 to see if you may be entitled to compensation. 1-866-4-ACU-HELP. Now.
The best things in life aren't always free, like free radicals that may have harmful effects on your body. That's why there's Nature's Bounty antioxidants like vitamin C and E and CoQ10 to neutralize excess free radicals and help reduce the premature aging of cells.
Now find a $1 off coupon good on any Nature's Bounty product in this Sunday's newspaper. That's a $1 off coupon in your July 25th Sunday newspaper.
The best things in life, they're from Nature's Bounty.
Nature's Bounty, a natural part of life.
Something new's just come to town. Bigger, bolder, brassier than anything you've ever heard before. They got names, big names. Riggins, Banks, Reeves, plus a posse of pros. And they're bringing the big guns of the NFL to Sirius. Live 24/7. All NFL, all the time. NFL Radio. Sirius 124.
Remember those back-to-school jitters? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Well, your kids are probably feeling them too. So, if possible, arrange your schedule so you can be home to send your kids off for the first day of school. Make it a special morning. Have their favorites for breakfast. put an encouraging note on the bathroom mirror. Before they head out the door, give them a big hug and tell them how much you love them. Help your kids overcome those jitters by being there. Visit FamilyMinute.net for free back-to-school resources. And remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
When is the right time to start talking with children about marijuana? Before they see or hear any pro-use messages or images. Before anyone their age has used it. Before anyone encourages them to try it. Before it becomes their first step towards substance abuse, school problems, health and safety risks, and illegal activity. Reality check. It's never too soon to talk to your kids about marijuana. For tips on getting started, call 1-800-729-6686.
Blah, 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 blah.
Why don't they talk about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
I'm a war president.
I want to be the peace president.
I'm a war president.
We're a nation of law. We adhere to laws. We have laws on the books. You might look at those laws, and that might provide comfort.
In my speech to the next...
Anyway, I'm leaving. You insulted our president. I don't have to sit here and listen to that.
Hey, come on. There's only 2.5 more hours.
Oh.
Just hang out.
Okay.
Hang out for a little while. It's only 18 after.
I'm sorry. I don't do a good belligerent Republican tourist. I'm sorry.
Oh, I've had to deal with these people. And usually, you know, I'm Mark Maron, by the way. That's my friend Mark Riley.
Hi.
We're here on Morning Seditions, Air America Radio, if you're just checking in with us. I have to fight everything in me. Not to just, you know, just focus in on them. And you, because I like nothing more than to see control freaks unravel. There's nothing more exciting to me. Like, I'll do it to our producer, Jonathan.
Jonathan Larson.
Occasionally just, I think he's coming in here now. You've just, done it.
You just keep poking them and poking them until they, and then, you know, all the tendrils come out of their heads.
But, you wanted to see those people's heads explode, didn't you? You did. Well, you wanted to see them start twitching and their frontal lobes start...
That happened, but when the guy stood up, that was usually, if I'd been a different night or I had been, you know, a different... If I'd been younger and not more respectful of my fellow comics and the show itself, I would have just, you know, started gunning. I would have made it really uncomfortable for everyone. You know, to the point where the show would have been irreparable. But as a professional entertainer and not the headliner of the show, I had to be somewhat diplomatic, and I took the shots, and I thought it went well. When I got off, they clearly knew that they were a minority, which felt like a victory to me, and it made me feel good about New York, because it's taken months, Mark, for people to even come out of their own fear of those kind of people. I used to do a bit on stage about how there's something that's equally as frightening as terrorism is belligerent patriotism. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, someone will go... And then they stop clapping. See how afraid you are? See what's, you know, what's more repressive? So I was just happy that the groundswell support at the end was there, and they could, you know, feel that uncomfortable. But let's talk about Alan Keyes.
Let's not and say we did. No, I guess we do have to talk about Alan Keyes.
Can we call him a hoe?
We can call him a straight-up hoe. All right, Alan Keyes has been hoeing it up as long as I've been in broadcasting, okay? Alan Keyes started in the mid-1970s, took a six-figure contract to shill for the apartheid government of South Africa. That's what a hoe Alan Keyes has been from the very beginning, all right, from day one. Then he became Ambassador Keyes. Had a couple of posts in the Reagan administration. I can't remember exactly what they're. I just looked them up on his website.
But obviously not a dumb guy. Well-educated guy.
Yeah, got a PhD from Harvard.
Speaks Greek, apparently.
Wait a minute, didn't Bush go to Harvard?
Yeah.
Well, I thought he went to
Harvard Business School.
Harvard Business School.
Right.
So I guess dummies can get to Harvard.
I guess so, but I mean, Keyes, I think...
Keyes is probably not a complete dummy.
Yeah.
All right? I mean, he can say State of the Union.
You're saying he's an opportunist over everything else, because I remember we just had a conversation as to, I thought he was kind of pathetic, that after saying what he said about Hillary Clinton,
mm-hmm.
which was, I will tell you right now, if I can quote it, said, I deeply resent the destruction of federalism represented by Hillary Clinton's willingness to get into a state she doesn't even live in and pretend to represent people there, so I certainly wouldn't imitate it. That was like the March 17th, 2000.
March 17th, 2000, and on August 8th, 2004, he said, yowza.
I'll do
yowza,
it.
Boy.
What's in it for me?
That's right. But I'll tell you what. You want me to tell you what's in it for him?
Sure.
He's going to run for the United States Senate against Barack Obama. He has been handed by the Illinois State Republican Committee the Republican nomination for the United States Senate. He's got 90 days to prove his worth. And you know why he's doing this? Two reasons. Real simple ones.
Yeah.
Money.
And
number
money.
One, and
money
a
and
platform
more money.
To land yet another media gig.
To keep him, you're saying that his publicist said, look, we, you know, the heat's not on you right now. We need a little more buzz, so why don't you take this shot? What do you got to lose? People see you again. No, there's no such thing as bad publicity. Get out there.
And number two, who do you think, just ask yourself this way, who do you think is paying his moving expenses? Because remember, under Illinois state law, he has to move into the state in order to run.
Would that be the RNC, perhaps?
RNC, Illinois State Republicans, whoever, someone is paying Alan Keyes moving expenses. Someone is going to put together a campaign staff for him and pay that campaign staff. Someone is going to put up enough money for him to make, in his judgment, a quasi-valid run for this office. And Alan Keyes, dare I say it, you know, I don't like to get this upset at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Go ahead.
But he's a straight-up hoe, and the reason why he's doing this is for money and a platform, period.
But wait.
And he knows he can't win. Barack Obama's going to knock him into the next century.
He actually said, I don't know if I can win, but I'm going to put up a good fight.
Yeah, put up a good fight.
But wait, he said, quote, I will spend a good deal of my time listening to the people of this state.
Yeah.
Right? I might not know the streets yet and the neighborhoods and all the things that go to make up the everyday life of the people. You know what I mean? So he's basically saying, hey, I don't know anything, but you know, I'm here.
Can you tell me how to get to Rockford, please? I mean, look, the guy is doing this for a very specific set of reasons.
But why doesn't this make them look bad? Why shouldn't this make the Republicans look bad?
The Republicans don't have any shame as far as this is concerned. As far as they're concerned, looking bad would have been nobody.
Yeah.
All right. Now, the other side of this, of course, from an affirmative action point of view, because Keyes is a well-known opponent of affirmative action, does anyone in their right mind think that Alan Keyes, a black man, would have gotten this nomination if it weren't for the fact that he was running against Barack Obama, another black man?
So this is like the epitome of affirmative action in action, in a way.
It's the biggest bit of affirmative action for black folks since Clarence Thomas got nominated to the U.S. Supreme Court back in 91.
Speaking of which, somebody is speculating that Clarence Thomas is going to be the next head judge.
Chief Justice guy. Yeah, but now, who's speculating?
A biographer
who tends to make a whole bunch of money off the sale of a book.
Again, the first wave of publicity to get Clarence Thomas the gig. Why do I keep wanting to say Clarence Jamas? All of a sudden I can't talk.
Okay, it's okay.
I'm all right.
All right, now here's the deal with Clarence Thomas. He has apparently, according to his biographer, been interviewed by White House lawyers as a possible successor to current Chief Justice William Rehnquist, that arch segregationist from back in the day, who wrote briefs in favor of Plessy versus Ferguson, the 1896 law, a Supreme Court decision, I should say, that affirmed separate but equal. Rehnquist is 79 years old, and I guess they're figuring they're going to have to cart him out sooner or later.
The lights are starting to dim.
Clarence Thomas is at 56, the youngest member of the court.
Mm-hmm.
Has been on the court since 91, 92. I guess people figure he's the natural, or I guess at least in his biographer's mind, the natural successor. And I'd be interested to see what Antonin Scalia thinks about all this. Scalia is generally considered to be the more scholarly of the conservative members of the court. So why would they pass over Scalia unless it's the whole duck hunting thing with Dick Cheney? I don't know.
What, would this be more affirmative action in action?
It could be. I mean, look, obviously when George H.W. Bush chose Clarence Thomas,
yeah.
To replace not a white justice, but Justice Thurgood Marshall, the first African-American
right.
that was named to the court. That was obviously affirmative action. There were people who were naming at least a half dozen Republican judges with far more experience, far more credentials than Clarence Thomas. The difference was they were moderates. Clarence Thomas was a conservative. George H.W. Bush was looking for a black conservative justice to the U.S. Supreme
But he's
Court.
Certainly no visionary, and he's certainly not that deep of a guy, and he certainly doesn't deliberate on, you know, he doesn't represent, he's not even that good of a judge.
But his biographer says he's friendly and outgoing in person.
I know, but what's that going to do?
I don't know.
I mean, but, you know, like someone like, it's almost an insult to the legacy of African-Americans that you take someone like Thurgood Marshall, and I imagine that's how a lot of people felt when Clarence Thomas was appointed.
Exactly.
Is that Thurgood Marshall who deliberated over the big civil rights, you know, cases and actually made a tremendous amount of progress.
Well, the thing you have to understand about Thurgood Marshall was that before he was named a Supreme Court Justice, Thurgood Marshall.
What was I saying? Thurgood.
Like George Thurgood and the Destroyers.
Move it on over.
No.
Rock it on over. Move over the dog. Big dog is moving in.
Don't let me give you another avenue.
I come in last night.
I'm sorry. That's actually a Hank Williams song.
Go on, there you go. No,
Thurgood.
George Thurgood Marshall. Thurgood Marshall had argued before the Supreme Court a number of times and had never lost a case.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that Thurgood Marshall was one of the people who argued Brown versus Board of Education
mm-hmm.
before the Supreme Court, before he became a Supreme Court. Clarence Thomas had no record of successful arguments in front of the United States Supreme Court. He had nowhere near the legal background that Thurgood Marshall had. Thurgood Marshall was extraordinarily qualified to sit on the United States Supreme Court. Now, you know, you could argue about what, you know, Clarence Thomas's ruling since then or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But what was fascinating about Clarence Thomas was that he literally split black America in half. Half of black America wanted him very badly to be the justice because they wanted a black man to be named, and they thought
no matter what.
Well, they thought if he wasn't confirmed, Bush might name a white guy.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And they wanted to have that black presence on the court, so they, you know, supported Clarence Thomas. And I think many of them now, in retrospect, regret that decision. At least, certainly, I never supported. You know, not that it's my place or anything, but I never supported the guy.
Yeah, I just I don't understand. I can't even imagine what the country would really look like if George Bush gets another term, which he won't. And Clarence Thomas is the head justice, the chief justice.
The chief justice of the U.S.
Supreme
Court.
It would be like, you know, two ciphers at the head of the two branches, you know, the two, like, it would be horrifying.
It would be a very, very scary thing. That's not a done deal. They've only, according to his biographer, he's being interviewed by White House lawyers. That's a long way to replacing William Rehnquist, but it is on the radar screen, so we're going to have to follow it. Still to come, the presidential palm pilot, the all-important liberal agenda from the Streisand compound, and the latest on Iraq, when we continue here on Air America Radio.
LendingTree.com presents How to Get Out from Under Debt. First, take an average guy.
Hello.
Then add some credit card debt. A car payment. And a student loan.
Ow.
To get out from under all this debt, get a debt consolidation loan from LendingTree.com, where banks compete and you choose the loan that's right for you. Call 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win at LendingTree.com.
Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply. See website for details.
Welcome to What's on My Mind. First question. 1 in 3 chance you'll need it on vacation.
Duct tape? Saddle shoes? D-batteries.
Actually, Imodium.
Oh, I knew that. There's a 1 in 3 chance you'll get diarrhea on foreign vacation. Imodium works often in one dose.
If you know all about Imodium, why didn't you say it?
TV chitters?
This is radio.
Oh.
Until next time.
Pack Imodium AD. Pack wisely. Use only as directed. About 1 in 3 travelers to developing countries get diarrhea.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. Internal memos have revealed that frontline prosecutors in the first major terror trial after September 11th bitterly complained that the Justice Department, headed by U.S. Attorney General John Ashcroft, impeded their ability to do their work effectively because the government allegedly prevented them from introducing some of their most dramatic evidence in the courtroom. There's word that the effort by U.S. officials to justify raising the terror alert level last week may have shut down an important source of information that has already led to a series of al-Qaeda arrests, this according to Pakistani intelligence sources. U.S. military says at least 7 Iraqi police officers have been killed by a car bomb blast northeast of Baghdad. More than a dozen people were hurt in that attack. And black conservative talk show host and one-time Republican presidential candidate Alan Keyes has made it official, announcing his candidacy for the U.S. Senate in the state of Illinois. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Jim Brewer.
Raw Dog, Friday night, 6 p.m.
Jim Brewer unleashed with my good friend Pete Corielli from the gang. We know strippers.
Get up the cinnamon.
We know hookers.
Hey, Daddy.
There'll be no midgets. There'll be no delinquents.
Off the leash.
What's up?
You're out.
Come over there. Snot box, Charlie. Come hang out. Jim Brewer, Unleashed. Friday night, 6 p.m.
Raw Dog.
Where what that?
Sirius 147.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Janet, a single mom, wants to buy a home. I give her a plan to do so after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
So how does a single mom buy a home?
I need to get myself on some type of a budget so that I can buy a house. I'm a single mother.
What do you make a year?
$15,000.
What I would do is two things towards being able to save some money. And you need to build an emergency fund first and then a down payment. So you're a ways from buying a home. You need to rent something very, very cheap. And anything we cannot pay out in rent is going to be towards the savings. So short term, then, we need to probably pick up part-time jobs, which is difficult with a baby. Again, it's not a great idea to work 60, 70 hours a week when you got a baby at home. I understand. There's just no magic pill that's going to make $15,000 jump into $10,000 into a savings account. Got to do is we got to get the income up short term and long term. Now, the answer long term is easier but harder, and that is education. You've got to start reading like crazy. You need to read a nonfiction book a month on something that you want to get into, something that you want to make yourself an expert on.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
M&M's for breakfast for everybody.
Snicker bars, too.
Yeah, Mark Riley. He sneaks a Snicker bar. You're like a secret eater. You're like a
right.
Secret chocolate
That's why
eater.
I come up here early.
He comes up here before everyone else, and I came in. I walk in. He had that guilty look on his eye with half the Snickers in his mouth going, hmm? That's Mark Riley. I'm Mark Maron.
Hi. We're on Morning's Edition here on Air America Radio. Ramon just got me the presidential Palm Pilot. Here's the schedule for today. Let's see if I can get through this. My brain seems to be slightly off.
8 o'clock a.m., wake up, stay on message. Ahmed Chalabi, never heard of him. 10 a.m., participate in an Ask President Bush event, Northern Virginia Community College. Have Carl Rove plant someone in the audience to ask this. How can we ever thank you? 1:15 p.m., meet with Prime Minister of Poland. Important, it's Poles, not Polacks. 2 o'clock p.m., lunch with Polish Prime Minister. Conversation icebreaker. So just how many of your people does it take to screw in a light bulb? A lot of confusion over that over here. A lot of confusion over here about that. Why can't I talk? Why can't I talk? A lot of confusion over here about that. The funniest line, and I botch it. 2:10 p.m., talking points. How do you get a one-armed Polack out of a tree? CIA operatives tell us that you waved to him. 4 p.m., go to fridge to admire the 38-inch fish Jenna caught over the weekend. It's official. We're winning the war on bass. 6 p.m., accused fish of flip-flopping. 10 p.m., bedtime. Brilliant idea. To court black vote, suggest Rick James be buried at Arlington.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Oh, wait. Can I say it again? A lot of confusion over here about that. Can I just read that one again? 2 o'clock p.m., lunch with Polish Prime Minister, conversation icebreaker. So just how many of your people does it take to screw in a light bulb? A lot of confusion over here about that.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful.
and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
He really said that. Apparently, it was unclear to some of our listeners. Like, why are they playing a real Bush ad? Did you hear? Maybe you should listen to it without the music.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
What a beautiful, truthful Swift that was. Can we play the second part of the Swift boat?
The Swift boat Veterans for Truth?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you have any questions about what John Kerry's made up, just spend 3 minutes with the men who served with him.
John Kerry? He bad.
John Kerry bad.
I don't like him.
John Kerry bad.
John Kerry loses. Me no like John Kerry.
He not good.
John Kerry's my poop fire truck.
John Kerry not good.
Kerry no good.
Bad.
I don't like John Kerry.
John Kerry took my shoe.
Swift Boat Veterans for Truth is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Right now, it's a privilege and a pleasure to bring back our guest. He's Time Magazine's Baghdad Bureau Chief. He has covered the developments in Iraq for Time Magazine since February 2003. He is speaking to us from somewhere in Jordan. Good morning, Michael Ware. How are you?
Michael.
Hello?
I think we had a little bit of a problem with him, but we're going to get him back momentarily.
We have problems with these calls to the Middle East at times.
I don't think this is a problem with the Middle East. I think it may be a slight problem just with the phone.
Really?
Yeah, with the phone patch.
I was all worked up to hear him go, good morning.
Yeah, right.
So,
We got a Michael Ware.
Hello.
Hello. How are you? Good?
Terrific. Thank you.
All right.
So did you read that Robert Fisk piece that said that the media failed to report a basic reality about Iraq, that it's falling apart? Are we losing? Do you agree with this assessment, Michael?
Well, it's certainly not going. It's not going well. For the ordinary Iraqi, we have so far still failed to deliver.
Uh-huh.
We've had plenty of opportunity, plenty of time. That the Iraqi people gave us a window of expectation, where they sat back and middle Iraq, the ordinary family, the ordinary breadwinner who just wants his kids to go to school,
right,
who just wants to walk the streets safely, who wants to have a job, sat back and gave us a period of grace. Well, they haven't seen us deliver on that promise to this point. We can still win these people over, but so far there is a lot of disappointment out there. And, I mean, it's the security situation which underpins everything. It's the what's running through, what's coursing through daily life. You cannot have your job. You cannot send your kids to school with confidence, because at any moment, the street could blow up.
Right.
The bazaar could be attacked. I mean, we cannot guarantee security yet. And so on the very first, most fundamental test, yeah, we have failed so far.
So is Alawi in control of the country? This Fisk article suggests that he really is like the mayor of Baghdad, that he really, outside of Baghdad, the U.S.-supported government has very little control of the country.
Well, I mean, that's not entirely the case. I mean, I'm familiar with Robert's previous work, and he certainly does take a degree of license. But there is a true precariousness to Alawi's government. I mean, he's really just hanging in there at the moment. I mean, for example, I've been speaking with the chief of Alawi's intelligence service. For want of a better comparison, he's the head of Alawi's CIA.
Wow.
Now, he says to me, look, we're developing a series of agents and officers who can start to tell us who the bad guys are, where the terrorists are, how we find them. But right now, we have absolutely nothing to throw at them. Even if we find them, there's nothing we can do. We don't have an army ready to go in and tackle these people. We don't have a police force that's equipped or has the morale to be able to deal with these people. So in many ways, they still remain impotent. So it's, a lot of it is about perception at the moment, and they don't have the real muscle to follow through, not on security, nor on virtually any other kind of delivery of government service. It's a very difficult situation.
Right. Hey, Michael Ware, we are going to come back with you, and we're going to talk about the Chalabi situation after our break.
Fantastic.
Okay. We'll be right back here on Air America Radio.
Hey, people, it's Mike Church from Sirius' Talk Central. You know, back in the day, they had this thing called the Monroe Doctrine. Well, now we're going to have this thing called the Church Doctrine. You'll get to hear the Church Doctrine every day on Sirius Right. Bring on John Kerry. Bring on Johnny Beefcake Edwards and whoever the left-wing loonies want to bring on. Because I can't be fought, and I can't be reasoned with. You can do that when you know you're right.
The Church Doctrine. Cut that out. Weekdays, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern on Conservative Talk Sirius Right 142.
In a hole in the ground, there lived a hobbit. I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. That opening phrase from J.R.R. Tolkien's The Hobbit has captured the attention of children around the world. It's a great book and has the power to spark your child's creativity and imagination, to teach them powerful lessons in character. Sure, they'll get plenty of reading this school year, so see if they can knock this one out before things get too busy. To order our book of the month, The Hobbit, visit FamilyMinute.net. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
I'm Edward James Olmos. I'm here to talk to you about RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Think about it. You have choices that you can make in your life, good choices and bad ones. Drinking and driving, bad choice. Why? The life you may take may even be your own. Think about it. Drinking and driving doesn't mix. Get a designated driver.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Welcome to Classes on Tape.
Okay.
Repeat the following phrase. Son, you did great on that test. I'm so proud of you.
Son, you did great on that test. I'm so proud of you.
Hey, Dad. How's it going?
Son, you're so proud. And that's a great test.
It's really not that difficult. Encourage him. Get him to graduate. Don't drop out on your kids. For a free brochure, call 877-4KID. That's 877-F-O-R-A-K-I-D. This message brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Our young people need us now more than ever.
Everyone's popping pills and smoking grass.
Sure, they look up to our superstars, but what they really want is the time and energy of caring adults who make a difference in their lives. A personal hero. You can be that hero. Get involved and help keep our young people drug-free. Your time is their future.
He's not on drugs. He's just weird.
To learn more, call 1-800-729-6686. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
There we are. We're back. We're back with Michael Ware, Time Magazine's Baghdad Bureau Chief. He's in Jordan, and he's been covering the Iraq conflict since February 2003.
Michael Ware, what is your take on the arrest warrants that have been issued for Salem Shalabi, who is obviously heading the tribunal involving Saddam Hussein, and his uncle Ahmed Shalabi, who helped justify the war for the neoconservative cabal over here in the States?
Look, this is a fascinating turn of events, and in some regards, this, to many of the players in Iraq, is a comeuppance for Chalabi that has been a long time coming. But for me, I mean, we're still not clear on the details of the evidence behind these charges. We really can't delve into the substance of the matters themselves. But there's one thing that, from my point of view at least, that these arrest warrants clearly mark, and that is the demise of the Pentagon's ruling influence on policy in Iraq, and the ascendancy now of what we're going to see from the State Department and to a small degree from the CIA. I mean, Ahmed Chalabi was the boy of the Pentagon. Mm-hmm. As you say, he was the neocons' front man. Now, it's been a dismal failure backing Chalabi. He was the wrong horse. And to this day, Chalabi is widely unpopular in Iraq. They don't know him. They treat him with suspicion. They regard him as a used car salesman.
Now, that means that Shiite populist thing he was trying to run didn't work, huh?
Oh, no. Look, that was an end run he was trying to make that only had the barest chances of success at all. I mean, he had no natural constituency. I mean, like many of the leaders in both the Iraqi Governing Council and now this interim government, he was an exile. So to some degree, he's unknown to the Iraqi people. But take Muqtada al-Sadr, the rebel Shia cleric. I still consider him a bit of a side player. He's a side dish to the main meal politically anyway. But Muqtada al-Sadr, you move against him, and there's an uprising across half the country. You move against Chalabi, and no one's going to do a thing.
What led to the collapse of that truce with al-Sadr?
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
Yeah, what led to the collapse of the truce with al-Sadr?
Yeah, that's a fascinating question. I mean, that's far more of an important issue than the events of the clashes themselves. I mean, We are seeing some isolated fighting in known Muqtada areas of support, such as Sadr City and Najaf. Nothing has yet emerged to tell us or make it clear just what has gone wrong. For some reason, Muqtada has now decided that there's no longer anything in it for him to be playing the game.
Mm.
I mean, he was at the point where he was saying it's better to be inside the tent than outside. Well, clearly that has broken down. Now, who's supporting him? Who's enabling him to do this? Iraqi officials claim that Iranian fighters are involved, that they have joined Muqtada's people. There's no evidence to directly support that right now, but it is not beyond the realms of possibility. Trust me, from the material I've seen on the ground of Iranian involvement, it's more than possible.
Michael Ware, I have to ask you, how does Salem Chalabi now conduct a tribunal involving Saddam Hussein when there's an arrest warrant out for him? Should we expect to hear about him resigning or being removed from that position?
Well, I mean, as a matter of simple jurisprudence, I mean, Ahmed Chalabi now must surely excuse himself from hearing that matter.
You mean Salem? Is it Salem?
Salem, yes, sorry, my mistake. Salem Chalabi must excuse himself from hearing either that matter or any other matter within the courts. I mean, a serious question now hangs over him that he was involved in one way or another in the murder of a senior financial officer within the government. So there's no way he can sit in judgment over others now. This, to some degree, has undermined the process against Saddam Hussein. And I'm sure that many of the Ba'athist elements will be taking great delight in this turn of events.
Let's get back to al-Sadr for a minute. Now, to what extent are people giving in to the insurgents? And could you, like, you talked to us last time, could you paint a picture a little bit of what the insurgency looks like at this point in time?
All right, well, the insurgency is kind of twofold at the moment. What you're seeing on your televisions, the photos you're seeing on the front pages, I would imagine, of the newspapers, is of the Shia uprising as it stands right now. It's limited. It's strictly to the south and to particular pockets of Baghdad. In my view, militarily, this is not a major event. Muqtada's people do not have the capability to really threaten.
Yeah,
I mean, there's larger groups within the Shia community, militarily, who are directly backed by Iran, who pose a much greater threat, and they're still sitting on the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
The real danger lurks in the west of Iraq.
Mm.
That's still where the dark heart of the insurgency lies. That's where the corporate knowledge of Saddam's military resides. That's where al-Qaeda has set up shop. It's from the west that the suicide bombings come. It's from the west that the threat to export the terrorism across Iraq's borders comes from. I mean, they're even at the point again where they're saying, look, if we need to, we'll start sending car bombers to the United States. I question them. I say, you have no capability to do this right now.
Mm-hmm.
They say, just give us time. So we may not see Iraqis car bombing in New York, but we may see an al-Qaeda plot that's formulated in Iraq executed. in the States.
Wow.
That's
so
where the real threat lies.
What towns are you talking about specifically in the West? Because I don't know the names right here.
What we're talking about is places obviously like Fallujah and Ramadi, which I think we touched on last time. They
yes.
effectively become a terrorist sanctuary. U.S. troops cannot operate in those areas.
Can you stay with us one more segment, Michael? Can you stay
sure.
with us? Okay, because we want to talk about Al Jazeera and more of this insurgency stuff when we come back here on Air America with Michael Ware. Oh, I'm sorry. I was blogging. Hey, check us out on morningsedition.com where you can blog, too.
Hi, this is Doug Dupuy for SelectQuote, and I just called
Cheryl Payne,
one of SelectQuote's licensed agents.
Hi, Mr. Dupuy.
Hi, Cheryl. Why buy term life insurance through SelectQuote instead of somebody else?
Well, Mr. Dupuy, about 2 out of 3 people have health or lifestyle issues. Could be high blood pressure, skydiving. Now, depending on what insurance company you choose, you could overpay hundreds of dollars a year.
Well, where does SelectQuote come in?
SelectQuote's a real matchmaker. We impartially shop the pick of America's top life insurers to match you with your best buy.
Got an example?
Sure. I just matched a man 40 years old who takes cholesterol medication with a $500,000 policy for under $22 a month.
Quite a match, Cheryl. Why not let SelectQuote match you with your best buy? Just call 1-800-772-8300. That's 1-800-772-8300. Or log on to SelectQuote.com.
Examples: First Colony Preferred, Best Colony, 10-year term, Policy Form 1420 and 1421 et al. Underwritten by First Colony Life Insurance Company, a GE Financial Assurance Company, Lynchburg, Virginia. Policy subject to underwriting approval, available in most states.
Final question. This is the only place you can hear every NFL game every week, wherever you are. Jeff, you disgust me. AM, sorry. Judy, obviously not an NFL fan. FM, sorry. Teddy, you answered Sirius. Absolutely correct, and our new champion.
The first game of the season kicks off with the Hall of Fame game between the Broncos and the Redskins, Monday at 8 Eastern, only on Sirius NFL Play-by-Play. Check out all the local play-by-play action on 123 and 124.
Research shows that the highest achieving students attend schools with good library media centers. It's easy to see why. School library media centers across the country have been helping teachers bring lessons to life with computers, videos, books, and more for years. The Campaign for America's Libraries reminds you that school library media specialists help students develop the information-searching skills they need to succeed throughout their lives.
All systems ready.
Cool.
Lifelong learning begins at your library.
Are you in the car right now with your kids? Sounds like the perfect time to ask them about the drug ecstasy. Go on, ask them. You have time right now to ask them. Think there's a better time? Maybe when you can sit down and have the talk? Aren't you sitting right now? The time to have the talk is right now. Lock the doors if you have to, because they're sitting right there. Go on, ask your kids about ecstasy. Right now. If you don't do it now, do you think you ever will? Ask your kids about E right now. Then go to askyourkidsabouti.com.
Hello, this is Alex Trebek for Choice Magazine Listening, a free service of the nonprofit Lucerna Fund. If you are blind or unable to read because of physical handicap, we will send you by mail recorded selections from leading magazines. If you want 8 hours of great writing on special speed cassettes 6 times a year, do let us know. Write Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. Remember, it's free. Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050. Thank you.
Talking to Michael Ware, Times Baghdad bureau chief, one of our favorite guests here on the show. So Michael Ware, you're suggesting that perhaps an Al-Qaeda plot to attack the United States could be born in western Iraq. What makes you say that specifically?
Well, we saw this happen pre-September 11. The September 11 plot was encapsulated. It was developed from within the sanctuaries in Afghanistan and to a lesser degree within the tribal areas of Pakistan.
Yes.
That was their territory. Well, hello, we've just given them some new territory. Through the invasion process of Iraq, the removal of the regime, we've left a vacuum, and there was enough time for Al-Qaeda and foreign jihadis and religious hardliners within Iraq to fill that vacuum. And now they control entire areas of western Iraq where we cannot go. where Alawi's government cannot go.
So where there were
safe houses, they can do what they want, and they can formulate any plot they dream of.
So where there were no terrorists before we attacked, there are now terrorists operating and planning and scheming within Iraq, which wouldn't have been there hadn't George Bush made a unilateral decision to attack.
Quite simply, yes, that's correct. I mean, the very thing we swore that we were invading to prevent, we have given life to. I mean, we gave them the platform for their new jihad. And we see the situation in Pakistan where you have the Northwest Frontier Province. Again, an area where U.S. troops cannot go.
Michael, where I want to jump in and ask one final very quick question. Why do you think Prime Minister Alawi closed the Al Jazeera Baghdad Bureau, and how are Iraqis reacting to the closure?
I don't think the bulk of ordinary Iraqis is going to be terribly upset about this. Iraqi public opinion is divided on Al Jazeera. Some of them actually answer the call that Al Jazeera puts out, and it ferments the rage. Others simply don't appreciate what they see as the distortion by Al Jazeera. This could prove to be a popular move by Alawi. It certainly won't prove to be a blow against him. People will not object enough to take it out electorally on Alawi. And a lot of questions have been raised about Al Jazeera's performance. Yet at the end of the day, we need a free press, and that includes all kinds of voices. So we need to find a way for Iraq to tolerate these kinds of differences of opinion.
Thank you very much, Michael Ware. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Take care.
Mark, thank you very much.
I appreciate it.
Okay, cheers. That's Michael Ware, Times Baghdad Bureau Chief, and always a very informative and great guest. Love talking to that
provocative guy. I like him.
He's great. In a word, yes.
Yes.
He's great.
Yeah. He nailed it, though.
Scary stuff, though. Yeah, and we talked to him about this before, and it certainly supports a lot of things that we've been saying. And given that Iraq has been sort of pulled from the front pages as of late, it's very important that we check in with that and hear what's going on as often as possible. Speaking of important things, there's the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. I'm having a real hard time today. Here are your marching orders for today. Write them down. One, have a friend drag you around in plastic handcuffs in preparation for the Republican convention. Two, float vicious rumor that Bush had Rick James killed to deflect attention away from Kerry's message. Three, insist that hacky sack be made an Olympic sport. Four, remember, your words and actions should always lend unwitting support to America's enemies. Five, drop this phrase into conversation. No matter what anyone says, respond with, quote, maybe you should read some Noam Chomsky and then we can talk. End quote.
What's wrong with Noam Chomsky?
Noam Chomsky's he's the best, man.
Yeah, he is. He is.
Yeah.
He's really
kind of dry, but he gets to the point.
Dry but scary. I kind of like it. Coming up in the next hour of Morning's Edition, Terror Watch, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, the Monday job listing, and from the dead Kennedys, Jello Biafra, when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Watching a movie, eating French fries. Do you know what these things all have in common? When you do them with kids, you're helping to prevent crime. So spend time, anytime, with kids. You'll help keep them away from crime and help prevent crime in your community. Call 1-800-WE-PREVENT. That's 1-800-WE-PREVENT.
Shows tropical storm just south of Louisiana coast.
At the Red Cross, just a few hours of your time helps make countless services possible. Whether you like to help out on the front lines or behind the scenes, there's something everyone can do to help prepare people in your community. Join the Red Cross and become part of something bigger than us all. To get involved, contact your local American Red Cross or visit www.redcross.org.
Compromise off, serious on. Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Serious. It's on.
This
is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. There's an Associated Press story that raises questions about the operation of the U.S. Justice Department, headed by the nation's top cop, John Ashcroft, at a time when the nation's safety is paramount. AP has revealed the Justice Department blocked frontline prosecutors in the first major trial after the 9/11 attacks from introducing some of their most dramatic evidence.
We must understand that the kind of
because
information
of this, jurors in the trial of four men accused of operating a terror cell in Detroit never heard testimony from a lieutenant in the Osama bin Laden army or saw video footage of European operatives casing U.S. landmarks. Internal memos from the Detroit office of the U.S. attorney reveal frustration on the part of the prosecutors charging superiors in Washington hindered the case. In one instance, the Justice Department said a lawyer who chose to play basketball rather than assist prosecutors at trial in Detroit. And a source for extracting information on the coveted plans of the Al-Qaeda terrorist network may have been terminated because the Bush administration sought to publicly justify last week's terror alert level was tied to the recent capture of an Al-Qaeda operative in Pakistan. Intelligence sources in the Middle Eastern country said they have been using the suspect to get a grip on the locations of other Al-Qaeda operatives around the world. Pakistani officials say when the U.S. government officials announced that the recent capture of the suspect led to information about the terror plots here in this country, additional information immediately dried up. In other news, Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry was on the campaign stump this weekend in Colorado, where he talked about the nation's faltering economy and Bush's vision for job growth.
The jobs that you're losing paid $17,000 more on average than the jobs that are now being created. John and I know we can do a better job of creating jobs that pay more money because we're going to invest in the technology. We're going to invest in manufacturing.
Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry. U.S. military review hearing Saturday got the testimony of a Tunisian detainee held at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, told the military that he was among those prisoners abused in Afghanistan before he was sent to Guantanamo Bay. 35-year-old says he was held in the dark and without sufficient drinking water for more than 2 months in Afghanistan. Military officials say the detainee was captured by the Northern Alliance before being turned over to U.S. troops. The detainee could not identify which force was holding him at the time of the alleged mistreatment. And there's been a temporary halt in the U.S. military hearings for Army Private Lindy England. She's the female soldier charged with taking pictures with naked Iraqi prisoners in the infamous Abu Ghraib prison. Military is still trying to determine whether England should stand trial for her alleged actions. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Hey people, it's Mike Church from Sirius's Talk Central. You know, back in the day, they had this thing called the Monroe Doctrine. Well, now we're going to have this thing called the Church Doctrine. You'll get to hear the Church Doctrine every day on Sirius Right. Bring on John Kerry. Bring on Johnny Beefcake Edwards and whoever the left-wing loony want to bring on. Because I can't be fought, and I can't be reasoned with. You can do that when you know you're right.
The Church Doctrine. Cut that out. Weekdays, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern on Conservative Talk Sirius Right 142.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Clint emails wanting to know if investing in art is better than mutual funds. I'll appraise that situation after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Art or mutual funds? My answer to Clint's email. I think purchasing artwork for the aesthetic value and the enjoyment of it is a phenomenal idea. If you are a professional art dealer and you really know your stuff, just like if you're a car dealer, and you really know your stuff. You can buy and sell items. I'm a real estate guy. I can buy and sell real estate and make more than you can make in mutual funds. But as a category, collectibles, they're called, art, jewelry, things like that, does not keep up with mutual funds as a category. But you and I buying a painting for over the fireplace and calling that an investment is usually not. Some of you guys know what you're doing, but the point is this. Don't just say, I'm going to do that instead of mutual funds. For 98% of the public walking around, unless you're just a professional art dealer, you need to do mutual funds for your investing, and you buy art for enjoyment.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah, well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose.
Big deal. My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite.
Get out.
Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can smash a soda can with his head.
No way.
I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
Mark Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning's Edition.
Hey, man, it's Monday, man. Woo!
Yeah.
That's Mark Riley. I'm Mark Maron, of course.
Present.
Yeah, everything's good. We're going to talk about some stuff, but I got a tired Joe Biafra on the phone.
I didn't know there was a brother in the dead Kennedys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually know that.
Who's that, Darius Rucker?
Yeah.
No.
On the phone with us right now, he's been up all night because that's the way he lives, man. Founder, lead singer of the Dead Kennedys, spoken word artist. Founder of the record label Alternative Tentacles, which I actually have several of their cassette tapes. I was very involved with that for a while. He's got a new album coming out with the Melvins called Never Breathe What You Can't See. Please welcome to the show, Jello Biafra. Good morning, Jello.
Hey, Jello.
Sorry, thanks for staying up, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
So, in 2000, you were up for the Green Party nomination along with Ralph Nader. Now, Nader is being blamed. He has been blamed for helping George Bush win the presidency, and now he's trying to be pushed out. What are your thoughts about Nader at this point in time, sir?
Well, I think Nader did not cost Gore the 2000 election anywhere near as much as Gore cost himself.
Yes.
The 2000 election. And I could go into a litany of reasons, but then we'd run out of time. So let's fast forward to this election.
Okay.
And initially, I was very disappointed in Ralph and questioned his judgment to run again this time because he's been such a lightning rod for all this criticism, although I think that criticism is unfair.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of being used by cutthroats from the Democratic Party to try and bully people from not running for any other office as an independent
mm-hmm.
or a green. And if the Democrat, if Nader cost Gore the 2000 election, why haven't they done anything, the Democrats, to address those reasons? Or if they're that concerned this time, why are they not addressing those concerns? And instead, you know, as soon as Howard Dean's nuts are effectively snipped and he's no longer a factor, John Kerry is back to being this wooden character who couldn't even pass an audition to be on the Munsters.
So you're saying to me that the Democrats aren't unable to address those issues because why? Because they are party to it as well as the Republicans are, have corporate sponsorship and everything else, right?
Absolutely.
So now what do you think of these wedge issues, these cultural issues like gay marriage and abortion that they keep hitting these things? It's a big smokescreen, right?
I don't think the right to choose is a smokescreen. I think it's a very important fundamental right.
No, but I mean they're exploiting the issues to distract the voters.
More so with gay marriage than with the abortion issue, because
right.
the abortion issue is always going to be with us.
And it's real, and they're starting to make progress in taking it away.
There's a huge number, you know, tens, hundreds of millions of people in this country who are still subservient to Stone Age religious cults who
right.
don't believe in science,
mm-hmm.
much more so than in Canada or Europe.
Such as the Christian right evangelical branch, the Dominions?
Oh, well, that's one small part of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, there's many, many people who in many other ways are very reasonable people, but are really freaked out by the thought of a woman having an abortion and
right.
terminating a pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you go inside their mindset and try and think like them for a minute, you can see why it would be such a visceral issue. To them, it's the same as, like, if somebody walked into your house and stomped on your kitty cat until it was dead or something. They see, you know, every little, you know, tiny little blob that's created by conception as being a living, breathing child.
Right.
And, I don't personally believe that, but I can see why that issue would be such a deep core issue to people on the other side.
Right.
And how it would be very easy for corporate forces who keep handing us people like George W. Bush to be able to use that as an issue to rope people in who might not otherwise vote for them or show up or vote at all.
Got it.
Tell Biafra, if John Kerry is Herman Munster and Ralph Nader can't win, who would be your ideal candidate to run against George W. Bush?
Oh, boy, the perfect dream candidate, huh? I'm going to have to think about that one for a while. I mean, for a while I was backing Marion Barry for president because, you know, we already know how he screwed up. Put him in. We already know what he's going to do to screw everything up.
Well, he wouldn't have to move very far, that's for sure.
Oh, no.
What do you think of Schwarzenegger, man?
I'd rather not think of Schwarzenegger. I mean, like the stolen election in Florida. This wasn't really election. It was selection. It was a coup.
Right.
And as far as I'm concerned, if Bill Clinton could get impeached for unauthorized weenie moistening,
mm-hmm.
and the governor of California, who admittedly was not a very sympathetic figure, but could be recalled for raising the tax on car registration and replaced by a two-bit thug from the movies, then it seems to me that King George II and Dick Cheney and every single member of Congress who voted to authorize military action in Iraq and then approved the $87 billion to keep the scam going, they ought to all be impeached for treason.
Absolutely. So let me ask you a question then, Joe Biafra. What would President Biafra do in his first 30 days in office?
Well, I think the best exit strategy for Iraq is the same way we went in, by trucks and ships and airplanes. That's the exit strategy.
Okay.
Get the
All right.
hell out of there.
Okay.
And granted, we owe the Iraqi people, you know, money and effort to help rebuild what we did to their country, not just with the two wars, but by propping up Saddam Hussein for so long and goading him into another horrible war with Iran in the first place. But the way we're going to have to do it in order for it to be accepted is to pull our people out, at least in the top spots, and allow people the Iraqi will accept in leadership and policing positions to run the show. You know, we don't give the orders, we take orders.
Right.
We work for them, for their benefit.
Right. I have
otherwise we don't belong there, and every single one of these no-bid contracts with Halliburton and Bechtel and the rest ought to be rescinded.
First
30 days in office, here's another one. I would pardon every small-time drug offender
mm-hmm.
and release them from prison immediately.
Okay.
Granted, it wouldn't make that big a dent in the drug war because most of those are state offenses and not federal offenses, but hopefully other people who want to balance their budgets by doing other things besides gutting the education system like Schwarzenegger is in this state will take heed and start shutting down the prison industrial complex as well.
I get it. So let me ask you a question. I have a recording of you doing a spoken word piece. I can't remember. It was years ago, and I just remember you repeating the phrase, "I'm scared," over and over again. Do you remember that recording?
I think that was probably the one about Oliver North
right.
way back in the late 80s.
Yeah, yeah. Are you still scared?
I guess I've been a little numbed to it because we've had so many horrible things I never thought possible keep happening.
Right.
But I'm not comfortable. I mean, the question to ask people that you know one-on-one, if they really want to vote for Bush, not just are you better off than you were 4 years ago, but do you feel more secure than you did 4 years
ago? Exactly. If he's winning the war on terror, why am I scared?
And the answer is an emphatic no.
Absolutely. And also, you know, what has he really done? Nothing. Thanks for joining us, Joe Biafra. Appreciate it.
He's done a lot more than nothing.
No, nothing good. How about that?
The world a vastly, vastly less.
More dangerous place. Absolutely. Thanks for joining us, Joe.
Take care.
Why was I defensive? Of course, I meant he did nothing good. I'm like, no, wait. It's like his abortion a smokescreen. It's like, well, I wouldn't call it. No. I mean, like, well, I'm on your team here. We're on the same team. Oh, my God.
Are you sure?
No. He's all right. I mean, you know, I used to listen to his spoken word stuff. I think he's kind of clever and kind of funny. He's a little tired in that conversation, but we're not, Mark. We're coming alive. I'm going to get some more M&Ms. We're going to come back here and do Terror Watch in a couple of minutes and a Dream Diary. How do you like that here on Air America Radio?
This is a Window Bob Report. I'm Sarah Turner. Americans are getting ripped off, according to a new report by the Federal Trade Commission. 25 million, or 11.2%, of U.S. adults fell victim to a variety of consumer scams. The FTC found that minorities were more likely than whites to suffer from fraud, the most common of which included credit repair, advanced fee loans, and credit card insurance scams.
The Stab Bob Report brought to you by the Communications Workers of America, the Union for the Information Age.
Stop whining. That's what head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Tom Donahue, told workers who just lost their high-tech jobs to overseas outsourcing. Analysts say millions of more jobs could be lost in the next few years. That's why we, the Communications Workers of America, are doing something about it. We're fighting to end tax breaks that ship our jobs overseas. We're helping tech workers organize. Learn more at techsunite.org, because America's future is on the line. A message from the Communications Workers of America.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Jim Brewer.
Raw Dog, Friday night, 6 p.m.
Jim Brewer Unleashed with my good friend Pete Corielli and the gang. There'll be no strippers.
There'll be no facilities.
There'll be no hookers.
Hey, Daddy.
There'll be no midgets. There'll be no delinquents.
I'm off the leash.
What's up?
Where's the bouncer at?
You come over there and punch in the snot box, Charlie. Come hang out. Jim Brewer Unleashed, Friday night, 6 p.m.
Raw Dog.
Where, what that?
Sirius 147.
Are you ready to give marriage another try? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Before you take that big step, take these three smaller ones. First, review your performance in your first marriage. How could you have been a better spouse? What weaknesses do you still need to work on? Second, know what you're looking for in a mate. Be clear about the character qualities you want. Don't settle for someone whose integrity is shaky just because you're lonely. Finally, give yourself time to get to know your potential mate before you say I do again. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Dinner time in America. For far too many families, that means it's time for ketchup soup. When you've got nothing else to feed hungry mouths, you take boiling water, add half a cup of ketchup, and presto, ketchup soup. Because when kids are hungry enough, they'll eat anything. One in five American children is living with hunger. Sometimes ketchup soup is the best their parents can do. To fight child hunger, call 1-800-FEED-KIDS. The sooner you believe it, the sooner we can end it. Brought to you by the Ad Council, America's Second Harvest, and Feeding Children Better.
So, why are they talking about the issues? We're fighting for our lives.
Here we go. How are you? Mark Riley's here. I'm here. Mark Maron. It's 19 after the hour. It's Air America Radio, Mornings Edition. We're having a Monday, but it's good, man. Michael Ware kicked it up.
Michael Ware kicked it up a notch, and that was neither one of us screening, by the way.
Leveled it out for us. I got nothing against Biafra. He just made me a little defensive. Yeah, why? Because, like, I would say something and go, well, no. And I'm like, no. Well, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So, anyways, my therapist is out of town, so I'm going crazy.
Uh-oh.
I cannot wait till this weekend. We go on vacation next week. Thank God. Oh, why are you looking at me like that, Larson? I'm not supposed to say that we're going on vacation? I'm not allowed to say that?
No. Absolutely not.
I thought Larson was giving me a look from the booth like, don't tell them that. We're going to try and slip in the best ofs all next week as real. They'll never know. They'll never know. Larson's going back to jury duty on Tuesday. He's like the happiest man in life. I get to do my civic duty and sleep.
Uh-huh.
Look at the face on that mug. He's just hugging. We're going to have to. Then you know what happens when Larson's gone? We get to have fun again.
Ooh.
Yeah. Here we go. My therapist is out of town, but I'm still writing down my dreams. Here's last night's. I'm in my panic room, ready for the end of the world. Bring them on! I got 12-inch thick titanium doors, hand-cranked lights and radiators and generators, 3 video monitors, 1 on closed circuit for outside intruders, 1 on CNN, 1 on Animal Planet. Gallons of bottled water and Spam, the low-sodium Spam. Imagine surviving a nuclear Armageddon and then dying of a heart attack. Wouldn't want that to happen. I got the Barca Lounger molded specifically to my ass. I got a urine purifier, if it comes to that. You know how it goes. I bought a coffee machine from Dunkin' Donuts, so I'll be able to go on insane caffeine jags all by myself, ranting and screeching and pounding my fists on my 12-inch titanium doors. I got an entire library of Noam Chomsky, though if I'm locked in my panic room, it's probably too late for political theory. I've got a phrase book that says, take whatever you want in Spanish, Arabic, and the most likely Southern American. And yeah, I have a pistol, no bullets because I'm a pacifist, but I definitely look badass holding it. And lots of porn. Let's just say I'm going to be spending lots of time down there. Suddenly, that's such a sad picture. Such a sad picture of me, you know, buried, bunkered in. My titanium just looked like a stack of porn going, I'm winning! I'm winning! Look at me win! Oh, now I'm messy. All right. Here we go. Suddenly, I see something horrible in the monitor. Angry faces waving flags and shouting frightening slogans like, we'll never quit. God is on our side. Mission accomplished. And most threatening of all, 4 more years. 4 more years of Republicans. Open up, Marin. We want to have our convention here. We heard New York is awesome. Woohoo! Hookers! I can smell the booze even through my 12-inch titanium doors, belching and farting. Their faces morphing and blobbing like a lava lamp. I yell, nobody named Marin lives here, fellas. You got the wrong panic room. The Marin you want is in the Bronx. But the pounding on the door gets louder. A horrible cacophony of gunshots and tax cuts and Midwestern neocons on vacation without their wives. Okay, I say. Okay, keep your shirt on. Because they had taken off their shirts. Savages. I open the door a crack and throw the mob a couple of old copies of Penthouse. This seems to placate them and they leave. But they'll come back. Their kind always does. I'm going to need more porn. I woke up and my bed was filled with canned meat products.
Ooh.
Wow. Wow, man. How long can I live without my therapist?
How long can you live with Spam? Low sodium Spam.
Dude, have you ever eaten that?
No.
Yeah.
No, I haven't eaten Spam in like 20-something years now.
That's back in the day.
Back in the day when I had to eat Spam, that was the cheapest thing I could find.
We'd go out and dance and do blow all night and then have a Spam party.
Spam for breakfast.
Yay, disco Spam.
Yep. Well, you know, there was a Monty Python bit about Spam.
You know what it's time for?
No.
It is time for...
Terror Watch.
What is the deal, man? Apparently, the administration is saying that the reason that they leaked this guy Khan's name, the dude with the computer that's given us this new but old information about Al-Qaeda's plot to attack the buildings that anyone should have suspected they would attack with any sort of intelligence, that the reason they leaked that was in response to people criticizing the administration that the terror alert was a political move. And now they're saying, well, now we compromised the sting operation because you idiots were accusing us of it being political. So now it's your fault that we had to leak this information. Can I just say one thing before you say the facts of the story, Mark?
Yeah.
The truth of the matter is that The list of targets they had should have been known targets all along. Those should have been the list of targets. You can pretty much assume what they would want to hit and protect them. That's it. We know the targets. Yes, the Capitol. Of course the Capitol. Protect it. Defend it. Let's just assume that when you say that these are the targets, that those are the targets till the end of time, and you do what's necessary to defend all of these targets appropriately and not say that there's a terror alert every 5 minutes just to get everybody worked up and to make us afraid, because it is political. And for them to say we leaked this in response to you accusing us of politicizing this is also political.
Well, let's look at, for a moment, if we might, Mark, at the administration's logic here.
Okay.
The administration is touting the fact that a number of Al-Qaeda operatives have been arrested lately. Now, published reports say that these Al-Qaeda operatives have been arrested specifically because of intelligence provided by Mohammed Naeem Noor Khan, the guy who's at the center of this operation.
The guy with the computer with the information on it.
Yes, and the guy that they arrested and whose name they released in an effort to blunt criticism from people like Howard Dean and Mark Maron that the terror alert was either fictitious and or political,
and
or
this
both.
This is the computer where we learned yesterday that the capital of the United States of America is a terrorist target. The capital. Can you imagine that? What a surprise. They're really, you know, coming around the side with these things. That the financial institutions in downtown New York are a target. Wow. You know, this stuff surprises me. How about you, Ryan?
Well, they're even more targets. They're even saying now that tourist helicopters here in New York City would be a potential target. And remember,
that's some information I could use.
But
that's
remember where the information is coming from. The information is coming, all of it, all of this is coming through Pakistan. We should not lose sight of the fact that this stuff, this is the Pakistanis reacting to the pressure of Colin Powell and others to come up with better intel, to get some Al-Qaeda people and arrest them. Remember, it was only 2 months ago we were talking about this.
I know. There was a report that said that they're pressuring Pakistan to deliver.
And this is the reaction to it. And when we talked to Jamie Rubin the other day, and I asked him very specifically, what are you prepared to accept all of this help from Pakistan in exchange for what? And he said, well, you know, we're not prepared to allow them to continue nuclear proliferation, which has got to be their end game here.
Right.
The Pakistanis are not giving us all this information, giving us all these Al-Qaeda operatives out of the goodness of their hearts, and not even due to pressure from the United States with nothing anticipated in return. They want the ability to arm themselves against the possibility of a war with India.
Right.
And we better be very clear about what the unintended consequences of all this intelligence could be.
So you're saying follow the money, which is what you're good at doing. And because money is not as important to me as it should be, I always fail to speculate along these lines. I'm more of an ideological reactionary idiot. So what you're saying is that the political dynamic is if they give us what we need, we will bolster their defenses in an upcoming war against, I guess I'm assuming, India and
against
Muslim.
Against India, yeah. And see, the thing that you have to understand, Mark, is that they expect the United States not to say anything as they begin to go out and procure these various elements to make nuclear weapons. That's their end game.
So that's the quid pro quo here?
That's got to be the quid. But what else do they have? What else could they want from us? But see, the other part of this is that it represents a triumph for the State Department. Remember that the State Department has been locked in a celebrity death match with the Department of Defense and the neocons.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that the Pakistanis are turning over all this information and all these people is a triumph for Colin Powell, who's the guy who went over there and pressured them in the first place.
And he needs a triumph.
Yes, he needs help. Lots of it. And the real question here, of course, is, are there any Al-Qaeda inside the U.S.? We'll be right back with much, much more here on Air America Radio.
The Radio Shack Dictionary of Gizmos. Today's definition, the long life doodad, as described by Vanessa Williams.
It's the gizmo that can keep your smoke alarms working longer. Because climbing up to replace those things isn't exactly fun.
So at Radio Shack, when you ask for
those long life doodads,
we'll show you our lithium 9-volt smoke alarm battery. And you'll get peace of mind knowing it'll last up to 10 years. So come in for easy answers to all your electronic accessory needs.
I'll take a long life doodad over a short life doodad every time.
Radio Shack. You've got questions, we've got answers.
Charts and graphs, charts and graphs. Love making charts and graphs.
No afternoon slump here.
High charts, low charts, bar graphs too. Hey, it's only 5 after 2. That rhymes.
Thanks to the Doldrum Fighting Harvest Bar. Real fruit and healthy energy from whole grains, fiber, protein, and vitamins. In 10 tempting flavors like rich toffee chocolate chip and pleasing strawberry.
Cover sheet. Turn it upside down. Dial the number. Press send. Fax, fax.
Harvest Bar from Power Bar. Skip the slump. Be great.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Internal memos have revealed that frontline prosecutors in the first major terror trial after the 9/11 attacks bitterly complained that the Justice Department, headed by U.S. Attorney General John Ashcroft, impeded their ability to do their work effectively because the government allegedly prevented them from introducing some of their most dramatic evidence in the courtroom. Two American soldiers and their Afghan interpreter were killed when a bomb hit their vehicle yesterday, capping yet another bloody week in the country. The surge of violence comes just as the nation is getting ready to go to the polls to elect a new government. Old expression, loose lips sink ships, may apply to the Bush White House. Last week, they blew the whistle that the recent arrest of an Al-Qaeda suspect in Pakistan prompted the recent upgrade in their terror alert level. Pakistani officials say they've been using the suspect in a sting operation to track down more bin Laden operatives. And the president returned to the campaign trail today after a weekend of partying at his nephew's wedding celebration in Maine.
Final question. This is the only place you can hear every NFL game every week, wherever you are. Jeff, you disgust me. AM, sorry. Judy, obviously not an NFL fan. FM, sorry. Teddy, you answered Sirius. Absolutely correct. And our new champion.
The first game of the season kicks off with a Hall of Fame game between the Broncos and the Redskins Monday at 8 Eastern, only on Sirius NFL Play-by-Play. Check out all the local play-by-play action on 123 and 124.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Susan is buying a used car and wants a fair price. I'll help her after this.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Susan wants a fair price for a car.
How do I find out what a fair price is for a used vehicle?
A quick way to do it is go online at KBB.com for Kelley Blue Book, and they have pricing under three different scenarios there. One is retail, which is what a dealer would sell it for on their lot. One is private sale, which is what usually you would find the car priced for in the classifieds, which is individual to individual, in other words. The third number is trade-in, which is what a dealer would be willing to pay for it. That's wholesale.
Okay.
And you can look up the price either way. When I get ready to look for a car, I typically look at all three. I look at the range of wholesale to retail. Private sale's usually in the middle.
KBB is a pretty good...
Yeah, they're pretty accurate. I mean, nothing's perfect, but they're fairly accurate. Sometimes I'll go to trader.com and just see what other people are selling theirs for in there. Kind of check against KBB and see how accurate it was then.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
And I'm Mark Maron, and this is Morning's Edition, and that's Mark Riley.
Now, that was not a real commercial.
I can't chew gum.
For those of you, no. For those of you who may react on the blog or may send email or may send feedback or may call us at 866-303-2270, that was not an actual George W. Bush.
Did Gary O'Reilly slip the number in there? Like, I didn't even know. Hey, what? He's just talking.
No, he did it.
Like,
he did it. Larson did it.
No, he's just talking. What a number? Wow. Did you wait? So you were mentioning about how that was a fake ad, and if you hear that and you hear the fake ad and you think it's real, that maybe you should call us at 866-303-2270 if you want. Right now, since the handover of power, we're exploring various. No. Is it not time for that? No.
Close though, close, but no cigar.
We're not, you know, You know what's weird is that I scripted that mistake. That was me. See, the way Mark Riley swept the number in, and then I swept it in. Then I figured, why not start down? Why not we just do Birth of a Nation and see if everyone's on their game? And certainly everyone gave me that look of like, yo, whoa, how come? Whoa. Chris, the board op, was like, "Wait, I don't even understand. It's not even a Dillette problem. Dillette is this like this program, this insidious French, program that for the computer that runs the entire studio that has a real problem.
For 3 hours, it runs our very lives."
Right, and now it's like, this isn't Dillette, this is Marin's brain. Can we get a techie in here to take a look at Marin? There's a problem.
But it's okay.
Is that all we got is Omar? Hold on. 866-303-2270.
No, wait a minute, man. Don't dog out Omar.
I'm not dogging. I love Omar. I was expecting, I thought that people would be happy to talk to us about Alan Keyes. Let's talk to Omar right now. Omar, how are you? Give us the lowdown.
What's up, Omar?
Mark, what's good, baby?
How you doing, man?
Good, man.
How we feeling there?
I'm all right, man.
I was just up in Buffalo last week, right?
Uh-huh.
And I was a little pissed because I'm sitting up there saying, what's up with everybody? And, have you ever heard of Air America? And they said that they didn't even care of Air America.
Oh, no, you have to say the Al Franken network.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I'm in Yonkers at this very moment. So, Riley, why don't you do me a favor?
Yo.
Give me a few of those bullets for Birth of a Nation.
Okay,
all right. Hey, wait a minute.
Come on, baby. Right after this, I'm going to Marinette to cool out.
Wait a minute now. But Yonkers is the home of Mary J. Blige and my late great dad, E.T. Riley.
I just passed by where her old housing project was.
Oh, yeah?
And I clearly don't like to go on that side of town. I'm not even going to lie to you, baby. I don't like that side of town. I'm over here by the water now.
Yeah,
but this is my comment. Here goes another setup for the killers because you're playing chess.
Yeah.
Because every time now, they're pressuring, Colin is pressuring this guy, the Musharraf.
Yeah,
Musharraf, yeah.
With some information, of course, just before the election.
Mm.
You got to get something good and juicy.
Right.
So I set this up. We went up against Saddam, who was going up against Iranians, right?
Mm-hmm.
And after that, when we help them, what happens? We go after him. Afghanistanians and then the Russians. We helped them. They have started breeding, they're harboring the terrorists and breeding them. We went after them. Now look, we want some information again from these people over here in Pakistan. Watch in a couple of years. We're going to get more of what they want. And after that, hey, they got this, they got that. We got to go over there and stop this. But the bottom line is, who gave it to them?
Right.
There you go. Who looked the other way while they were procuring all these rods and uranium and all the rest of this?
Us.
Yeah, we're going to give it to them. But
yeah.
What's going to happen is, that's going to be the reason for us to go back there and take it.
So you're saying we're going to have an enemy in the pocket.
There you go. See, 2004,
yeah.
The next Republican administration will be up in Afghanistan, guaranteed.
All right, there's not going to be a next Republican administration.
Let's pray.
Thank you, Omar. And, also, the Afghanistanians. That was a good one. That was an Omarism.
That was definitely an Omarism.
Yes,
but as long as we're talking about these issues pertaining to terror, George W. Bush, and I don't know whether he makes these gaffes on purpose when he addresses people of color or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the other day, he was at that Unity conference, and he was, talking again about the war on terror.
Yeah.
And, like he remade himself from the war president to the peace president, he tried to do it again, and he did it in front of some journalists of color, and this was the net result.
We've actually misnamed the war on terror. It ought to be the struggle against ideological extremists who do not believe in free societies, who happen to use terror as a weapon to try to shake the conscience of the free world.
Huh.
And
not as catchy.
That was the journalist laughing, folks.
Yeah.
That wasn't Mark and Mark. That was the journalist. So all of you who might heckle Marin at his next comedy gig, that was not us making fun of the president. That was the guy who asked him the question making fun of him.
I think he was actually laughing at just everyone was surprised that he actually made the whole sentence and it had buttons on it. Like he was really set up for one of those classic sort of Bush stumbles. But he stumbled for a minute and then, bam, listen to all the information that someone else put in my head.
Mm,
what were you saying, Larson?
Yes.
Nothing?
Nothing?
Oh.
He wasn't saying anything?
Oh, yeah, no, he was telling, reminding people that I'm going to be at Joe's Pub on Wednesday night for what is called Hebe Storytelling.
Yeah, if you do want to heckle Marin live as opposed to talking to your radio.
Hey, go to joespub.com. It's going to be an interesting night. It starts at 7 o'clock. I'm hosting it. And apparently Jesse Klein, who's a comedian, is going to be on. Albert Maisels, I think is how you pronounce his name.
Okay.
Maisels, he's the filmmaker that did Gimme Shelter and Great Gardens. Who else? Rain Pryor, who is one of the children of Richard Pryor.
Richard Pryor's daughter, sure.
Mike Albo, who is a writer and a very good storyteller, and Stephen Glass.
Okay.
The infamous plagiarizer. I wasn't even plagiarizing. He was creating. He was fabricating stories for the New Republic. Did you see that film, Shattered Glass?
No, I didn't see it.
It was a really great film.
I remember the story, though, when it broke.
Yeah, yeah. So he's going to be on. I don't know what he's going to be talking about, but I assume he's going to be making it up.
Let's make a few things.
Oh, the Afghanistanians.
Now, this isn't going to be a town hall meeting kind of thing. So we want people to be clear that you're not... You know, you're not really empowered to jump up in the middle of someone's bit and start talking trash. That doesn't happen.
In all honesty, if somebody has got something funny to say, or it's like a cute heckle line or whatever, or if they're playing along, it really comes down to if your agenda is to sabotage the show or sabotage the act, then you're being, you know, completely rude to everyone else in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Some people think they want to play along or they want to add a little something, and I've had conversations like that have been great. I don't mind talking to the audience, but this was clearly someone saying, shut up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it is not their place to say, shut up. I got the mic. It's my mic. You shut up.
That's right. If you want to leave Linda Ronstadt, not Mark Maron.
Exactly. So why don't you call us at 866-303-2270 if you got something to say, because I'm on stage, but I want some audience input. 866-303-2270. We'll come back. We're going to talk about Alan Keyes and James Thomas again and much more here on Air America Radio.
Give us a call at 866-303-2270, or you can check us out at morningsedition.com.
Hey, people, it's Mike Church from Sirius's Talk Central. You know, back in the day, they had this thing called the Monroe Doctrine. Well, now we're going to have this thing called the Church Doctrine. You'll get to hear the Church Doctrine every day on Sirius Right. Bring on John Kerry. Bring on Johnny Beefcake Edwards and whoever the left-wing loonies want to bring on. Because I can't be fought. I can't be reasoned with. You can do that when you know you're right.
The Church Doctrine. Cut that out. Weekdays, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern on Conservative Talk Sirius Right 142.
This is your Icicle Insight on the Environment.
Russell Tray, my guest, the book Politics, Pollution, and Pandas. 1970, you were the first chair of the Presidential Council on Environmental Quality. 1973, you headed the EPA. How has our perspective shifted regarding the environment?
Well, I think at the beginning, nobody knew what the environment was. When I told my parents that I was resigning as a tax court judge to become a full-time environmentalist, they thought two things. One, that I was crazy, and secondly, they didn't know what I meant. That has all changed. We had a huge upsurge of public attention to the environment during my main career period, and now we see, I think, you know, that public excitement has died down. Most polls show that the American public really cares about the environment. However, the priority today is not what it was back in the 70s.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Stuart, how are those hedges coming, little man?
Dad!
Sorry, you're not little. You're 5. Man, you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer! That's the battle cry of the lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade! Where are those hedges?
Dad!
Think of the trimmer as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from...
The cat!
The cat! Oh, and the neighbor's new car!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Dad, make it stop!
Come back here. You can do the neighbor's shrubs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
If you or someone you love has been diagnosed with breast cancer or ovarian cancer, call SHARE, the survivor-led organization that has been helping women for 26 years. SHARE, self-help for women with breast or ovarian cancer, provides free programs, services, and 24/7 hotlines in English and Spanish. SHARE's toll-free number is 1-866-891-2392. Don't go it alone. Call 1-866-891-2392 today.
Good morning, Mark Maron here.
Hi,
that's Mark Riley. It's morning's edition. Dude, I just realized, you know, Shelley Lewis, our one of the associate, one of the producers of the network from the, one of the brass.
Uh-huh.
Out of town all week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so guess what?
So we can do some frat. Can somebody, Chris, you got a copy of Louie Louie by the Kingsmen so we can do a whole frat house thing? Come on now.
I just think that it's kind of fun that, you know, we are free flow. It's, you know, I don't want to get in too much trouble, but we can do whatever we want because Larson's leaving tomorrow. Are you kidding? It's going to be crazy.
Maron, fall off the wagon. I'll call a dealer I know. We'll have a ball. I'm only kidding, folks. Only kidding.
866-303-2270. Speaking of the wagon, I have 5 years clean and sober today.
Yes, yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank
you.
Thank you very much. Here's the, let's do this. I was going to do it earlier. Since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 42. Leaders of Iraq. Yes, good morning. Yeah, okay. Hey, wow. Someone had too much coffee. All right. We hear you just reinstated the death penalty. It's not really a shocker. It just seems a tad redundant given that you have so many suicide bombers. Nothing deters crime like the death penalty. And there's one thing your people need, it's deterrence. Exactly. The question is, how much death penalty do you need? Now, your boy Saddam probably erred on the side of overenthusiasm. The tip-off? Mass graves. But if you take it down a couple of notches, the death penalty can go a long way to sewing up the law and order vote. Execute the occasional teenager or retarded person just to prove you mean business. As for methods of execution, yes, I see you have your preferences, but might we suggest lethal injection? It leaves the open casket option, you know, for the family. Incidentally, don't execute the family. That reminds me, one final point. Before the execution, you've got to have a trial and a conviction first. I'm serious. Listen to me. Okay, we can iron that out later. In the meantime, good luck and God bless. This is Day 42 of Iraq, Birth of a Nation. Live free or die.
Maron, answer me one question.
Yes, sir.
Why do I feel guilty laughing at that bit more than any other bit you do?
Because it's an evil bit.
That's it. There you go.
866-303-2270. We got Jim in Chicago. How are you, Jim?
What's up, Jim?
Hey, I went to the Alan Keyes rally yesterday.
Uh-oh.
How was that, dude?
Well, you know, we felt compelled to go, so we made a bunch of signs and went out to stand in the sidewalk because it was a busy street that it was along, and we thought we could, you know, affect a lot of drivers.
What the sign said?
Mine said no Illinois Republicans qualified for Senate, ?
Oh, that's pretty good.
Or the Illinois GOP gave me a Maryland crab.
Did you draw a little crab on there?
No, we tried to make the signs, you know, big so people could see them.
So what was the general feeling at the rally? What was there actually? Did you see any real support for Alan Keyes?
The support was coming entirely from the Christian right, the anti-abortion people. Because as soon as they saw we were out there, they came running out with Keyes signs. And then they actually would, you know, go so far as to call us baby killers.
For what reason? Just because you were there with anti-Keyes signs?
They would ask us how we might vote, and if we said that we might vote for Obama or vote Democrat, then we were instantly baby killers.
Wow, so he's not running on the Right to Life party, but they're still calling people who oppose him baby killers.
They would not let us in to listen to his speech.
Really?
But some other people around us had gone in.
Why, because they didn't have signs?
No loyalty oath?
Pardon?
No loyalty oath like they do with Cheney out in New Mexico?
I guess not, but just about everybody going in looked like they had already drunk the Kool-Aid. One old man Republican walking in, though, did give my sign a thumbs up about no Illinois Republicans qualify for Senate.
Oh, interesting.
So not everybody is in on this, you know?
Right, right. They're just coming out because they think they have to because they're sort of the robots. They've been activated.
Yeah, you know, what I've heard is that Judy Bartopinka, who heads up the Republican Party mm-hmm. in this area, really wants to distance herself from these crazy religious right, but they don't have anybody to run, so they feel like they have to give these crazy people an opportunity to produce or shut up.
Wow, that's interesting. That sounds like the whole agenda of the Republican Party is.
Gee, they couldn't have got Michael Jordan?
Yeah.
He's a black. Now, you know, it would have been nice to play a little bit of
is
that
he
sound
Republican?
For him. Who? Michael Jordan?
Yeah.
I don't know. He doesn't need the money. I don't know, to tell you the truth.
Well,
but,
okay.
You know, it would be nice to play the sound so that, because, you know, Jim wasn't allowed inside to hear Alan Keyes accept this nomination. But we have some sound from this, and it's very revealing sound. Let's go to it right now.
If you are willing to join me in that fight, with, to join me with your money, to join me with your work, to join me especially with your prayers, then I will promise you a battle like this nation has never seen.
What's he trying to do?
Now, what's important here is the order that he said. If you're willing to work, if you're willing to give me your money, if you're willing to work, if you're willing to give me prayers. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Money first. Prayers third.
Right, but now
and
we
this
know,
is from a religious fanatic.
This is yesterday.
This is yesterday.
So that's from the rally that this guy couldn't get into, and now we know that most of those people in the room were extreme Christians, anti-abortion.
Anti-abortionists. But why didn't he say prayers first, money third? Because he's a straight-up hoe, that's why.
That's right. That's Riley's contention
that
today.
That is my contention. He's got a long and tawdry history.
Of being a hoe.
Of being a hoe for and not just for, not for ideology, not for religion, for money.
That's right. We'll take more of your calls after this break on Air America Radio.
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice cream, man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call American Satellite. 1-800-264-0071. That's 1-800-264-0071. Ask how you can get Total Choice Premier free for 4 months, a $360 value. 1-800-264-0071. Call now.
Add $4.99 a month for second and each additional receiver. Offer ends October 30th, 2004.
New customers only. Annual programming commitment required.
Final question. This is the only place you can hear every NFL game every week, wherever you are. Jeff, you disgust me. AM, sorry. Judy, obviously not an NFL fan. FM, sorry. Teddy, you answered Sirius. Absolutely correct. And our new champion.
The first game of the season kicks off with the Hall of Fame game between the Broncos and the Redskins. Monday at 8 Eastern, only on Sirius NFL Play-by-Play. Check out all the local play-by-play action on 123 and 124.
Growing up on a farm out here, I just thought life was great. I had my own horse. I drove a tractor with my dad. For me, I thought farm life was the American dream. Hi, my name is Rex Phipps. That all changed when I was reminded how dangerous working on a farm can be. My cousin was almost killed in a terrible accident. I had to do something. I couldn't help my cousin, but I could help other people avoid this on their farms. So I volunteered at farm safety day camps for children of all ages, teaching kids about being safe around tractors, tools, and animals. Just like I found a need to fill in my community, your community needs you. Find out how you can help in your hometown. Get out and live. Volunteer.
Brought to you by the Hitachi Foundation's Yoshiyama Award for Exemplary Service to the Community and this station.
A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. TV personality Luke Perry.
All right, I got a little pop quiz for you. It's about me. What was my zip code? What city was it in? Name three kids I hung out with in the lunchroom. Name three kids your child hangs out with in the lunchroom.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
R.I.P. Rick Jones. Rick James. R.I.P. Rick James. The party is over.
Wow.
The party is officially over. Rick Jones. He's Rick. I got it. My brain is ridiculous. Rick James. Rest in peace. There you go. How's that?
All right. There you go.
According to an AP report last week, England is looking for someone to be the nation's first official court jester since 1649. We're not the only people who noticed the news story just today. This ad appeared in newspapers across the U.S. It's our morning edition Monday job listing. Wanted, White House court jester. The performer we are looking for will be able to keep the President of the United States amused through messy war news and plummeting economy and dismal poll numbers. The President must attend frequent high-level meetings involving issues of national security. It is primarily at these times that you will be called on to distract him and keep him from interrupting the decision-making. Your material should be simple, direct, and hard-hitting. For instance, an impression of John Kerry combined with feigned flatulence. Very good. Remember, you'll be relating to a very special audience of one. The President's jester must be able to handle either puzzled stares or constant cries of, do it again, especially after any piece involving balloon animals. All audition tapes become the property of the White House. One more thing, Dennis Miller, please stop calling. Your attitude is all right, but at this point, even we don't think you're funny. And Rick Jones certainly doesn't.
No, see, there you go again.
What's wrong with me, man?
I remember Rick. You know, Rick James has a very interesting history. Did you know that he played with a band in Canada called the Minor Birds?
No.
You ever heard of them?
No.
You know who came out of that band?
Who?
Neil Young.
Oh, Neil Young.
Neil Young then went out and joined Buffalo Springfield.
After that band broke up, Stephen Stills in it.
Yeah.
And they did, I like them.
Rick Jones, as you've
Yeah,
now
he's been around.
Yeah,
Jones,
he's been around. And I remember, I mean, he's been up here any number of times, to do interviews and stuff. I remember when his first R&B record, or I guess his first funk record, which was called You and I, came out in like about 1978.
That's before he became Rick James,
Yeah, that was well before the Rick James. Actually, I think he was probably Rick James bitch back then, too.
He had the attitude.
But, I mean, You and I was, I thought, a great song, much better than a lot of the stuff he did. Super Freak and all that stuff I found relatively boring. But You and I really had, he had a full funk band behind him. It was some serious music.
Oh, wow.
And then, he kind of disappeared from the scene for a while, had a well-publicized affair, I believe, with Linda Blair, the woman that did The Exorcist.
Nice.
And then, of course, teamed up with Tina Marie and...
Do that thing with your head.
Yeah, right. I'm Rick James. Do that thing with your
head. Go make the head spin around, bitch.
Yeah, so, they still don't know what killed him. That's the amazing thing. He died in his sleep. That's all his publicist would say.
Dude, but every day of his life has been a gift for the last 15 years.
I know, but see, that's the thing, man. As soon as everybody heard that he died in his sleep, the first thing everybody said?
What?
Drug overdose.
Well, I mean, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I want to say I performed at my buddy's dad's wedding on Sunday. I want to say congratulations to Bob and Lois, who are regular listeners to our show.
All right.
I'm sorry we didn't get to your calls. We will do some more calls next hour. Thank you for calling. And we have a lot of good stuff coming up.
Yes, we do.
I'm saying.
Deed we do.
We got the Recovery Corner. We got the Liberal Agenda. We got the Presidential Palm Pilot. We've got conversations about Chalabi. And rest in peace, Rick James.
Ah, yeah. Yeah. Hey, 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 hey!
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Who is gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Old way.
And hearing a great deal about frequency modulation. The new high fidelity.
New way.
Superior sound resolution with S-Plex technology. Sirius, it's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. Domestic security officials say Pakistan served up some coveted information with regard to the war on terror over the weekend. Intelligence sources in Pakistan say Al-Qaeda operatives had planned to use tourist helicopters in the next planned attack in New York. Because of the information, a new directive was put in place to step up security around all helicopter operators. In another development, British authorities confiscated 1,000 computer disks during an arrest last week of a dozen suspected Al-Qaeda operatives in Great Britain. Noted journalist Michael Ware, based in Iraq, says there are growing signs that the Bush administration's war has failed to spawn its desired objective to combat world terror. Journalist Ware this morning was explicit in his assessment in an appearance on Air America's Mornings Edition.
Through the invasion process of Iraq, the removal of the regime, we've left a vacuum, and there was enough time for Al-Qaeda and foreign jihadis and religious hardliners within Iraq to fill that vacuum. And now they control entire areas of western Iraq where we cannot go.
So where there were no terrorists before we attacked, there are now terrorists operating and planning and scheming, which wouldn't have been there hadn't George Bush made a unilateral decision to attack.
Quite simply, yes.
Noted journalist Michael Ware in an interview with Air America's Mark Maron and Mark Rowley in Morning's Edition just moments ago. Iraqi militants say they are holding a top Iranian diplomat hostage. This according to a video shown on Arab television. The video showed a bearded man who was identified as Faridun Jahani. The video also showed 9 forms of his identification, including his passport. Kidnappers call themselves the Islamic Army in Iraq. They've accused Jahani provoking sectarian war in Iraq, and they warned Iran of interfering in Iraqi affairs. So far, no demands have been made, and the kidnappers did not appear to threaten him at the moment. Interim Prime Minister of Iraq, Iyad Alawi, has inked an agreement aimed at persuading militants to put down their arms and join the government's efforts to rebuild the country. While the Prime Minister made the overture, it's clear that the law only pardons those accused of minor crimes. Criminals responsible for murders and terrorism would not fit the government's profile for the nation's reconstruction. Bush campaign is certainly playing to its base in its bid to shore up its ranks in time for the November election. New York Times reports this morning that the campaign is drumming up support from conservative Christian voters. Paper offered a profile of one of them, identified as Suzanne Jacobsmeyer of the West County Assembly of God in St. Louis, Missouri. Jacobsmeyer is considered a team leader for the campaign, who says that Bush has proven that he will do what's right and he will look to God first. Another conservative Christian team leader for Bush agreed with Jacobsmeyer and added that this year's presidential contest is a spiritual battle. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Before Shock Jock.
All right, enough about that. Tell me about your pants.
Before Morning Zoo.
It's 7:20 on the Big Boss Hour. That's right, we're stacked and stacked.
Before liberal and conservative talk.
Tree hugger.
Warmonger.
There was a golden age of radio, and Sirius Radio Classics recreates that era with shows from the original comedy greats like Abbott and Costello, Jack Benny, Bob Hope, Burns and Allen, plus old radio serials like Dragnet and The Lone Ranger. Travel back to the real glory days. Sirius Radio Classics. 133.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Chris emailed wanting to know if becoming a business partner was a good plan. I'll share my thoughts next.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Should Chris become a partner?
Dave, I'm currently general manager of a chain restaurant. I have an offer to become a partner in a sole proprietorship. What are my risks? Huge. General partnerships are the most dangerous form of ownership in a business. In a general partnership, every debt that any partner takes on, all partners are liable for. So if your partner runs down and runs up a $5,000 bill with the printer in the name of the partnership, you are liable for it. I don't want to be a general partner. Thank you very much. I will pass. General partnership interest is a really bad way to do it. Now, if you formed it as a corporation where you are still, from a practical standpoint, partners, but the corporation only stands for its vendor debt and so forth, even for the lease, if you can get someone to sign you up that way, that process, then that would be the way to go.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Okay, go ahead.
I have something very
sound it out.
Important.
Good.
To talk to dads about reading with your children. Most kids want to read. If you spend even a little time with them every night, it will help a lot. It will help most. What's this word?
Take each letter at a time.
Motivate.
Good job.
What's it mean?
Well, it means to encourage or, you know, help someone do something better.
Help motivate them to try harder, which can help them become better readers even faster.
Excellent.
When kids read better, it builds their confidence. And that can make a big difference in a kid's life while they grow up.
You're getting really good.
Thanks, Dad.
Keep going.
Reading with
For more ideas on how to be a better dad, call 1-800-790-DADS. This has been a message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
All right, what do you want to read next?
Mark Maron at 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Hello, good morning. It is now Monday. How about that? Woo! What do you say? How about a little... let's do the new advertisement.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yes. There's no... We cannot do this
Our
enough.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
What were you thinking?
Why don't they talk about the issues? We're fighting for our lives. Yeah. Hey, I want to hear the Kerry one, the second in the Swift Boats for Truth series. Can we hear that too, please?
If you have any question about what John Kerry's made up, just spend 3 minutes with the men who served with him.
John Kerry? He bad.
John Kerry bad.
I don't like him.
John Kerry bad.
John Kerry loses.
Me don't like John Kerry.
He not good.
John Kerry's my poop. Fire truck.
John Kerry not good.
Kerry no good.
Bad.
I don't like John Kerry.
John Kerry took my shoe.
Swift Boat Veterans for Truth is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Oh, yeah. There you go. And that's like that's a real ad. They should start running those.
Yeah, I know.
I got into a fight with the woman who books a comedy seller the other night. She just came right up to me because I'm like some sort of token liberal in the whole universe down there.
Really?
As far as being on stage and actually having...
You mean all the other guys are conservatives?
They're not conservatives. They're
idiots?
They're hawks. No. They're not apolitical, as Larson just said in my head. They believe that the president is right in fighting in Iraq, and some of them believe that literally all Muslims should, you know, not be allowed to exist in this country. I mean,
they're reading too much
extreme.
Stanley Crouch. That's what their problem is.
Well, the truth of the matter is, a lot of them are very liberal in the sense of, you know, what they want the freedom to do, you know, in language and everything else. But when it comes down to the war, that's where a lot of them sort of became more conservative and believe in, but that's not the issue. So Well, the woman who runs the place is Israeli, and she the other day I get there, and she's like, you have to read this article. You must read it. You know? And she throws the post at me, and it's a piece about how the Swift Boat guys, you know, are, like, valid and tell the truth and, like, clearly. And I'm like, I know about this stuff. These guys are they're full of crap. You know, one of them has been after Kerry because he was doing it on behest of Nixon in the early 70s because of his involvement with the Veterans Against the Vietnam War. And a lot of these guys are just sellout bitter bastards. You know, who have no real credibility whatsoever. But she's like, I don't care what you say. It's all in question now. That, you know, only 4 months in Vietnam? What is that, only 4 months? But it wasn't. That was, you know, that was not the extent of his duty in the armed forces. And also, it's just like there are people that just wait for this type of information so they can feel vindicated in their uninformed and narrow-minded points of view. I mean, the truth of the matter is, if you research these things, the credibility of these guys is definitely questionable on all levels. And even when we talk to a veteran, do we have that sound?
Yes, I believe we do.
We talk to a veteran about the questioning of, like, the questioning of the integrity of somebody's, you know, war medals. You know, is you know, it's pretty heinous stuff coming from a draft-dodging president. And also in the face of what veterans are going through today in Iraq. You know, the fact that John Kerry came home from Vietnam and questioned that war, you know, is a testament to his integrity, not to some and to any other thing. Because, you know, in retrospect, that war was a very questionable, you know, needless war.
Yeah. Let's hear what one of our callers, who in fact was himself or is himself a veteran, had to say about John Kerry and the medals that he won in Vietnam. This is from our show on
Friday.
All right, Fred in Georgia. How are you, Fred?
What's up, Fred?
Yeah, hi. How are you?
All right.
Hey, I just have a couple of quick comments to make, and you guys can take it away. But I'm a Vietnam veteran. I served in 68, 69 for 13 months with the 4th Battalion, 12th Infantry, 199th Light Infantry Brigade. I was company commander, and I was about the same level, same rank that John Kerry was when he was there. Mm-hmm. A couple of things you need to remember about Army awards. You can't get them unless they go before a review board.
Right.
It's all done pretty much the same way. Mm-hmm. If these guys are questioning John Kerry's awards, they're questioning mine.
Right.
Because they're saying that mine are bogus, too.
Right.
And every Vietnam veteran ought to get really pretty pissed off about that.
Yeah, exactly. See, I think that's the important thing to realize is that all these medals go by a review board, and they're not partial. And, I mean, the real contention was around this first Purple Heart for a small injury, but it was an injury. It's not the issue. If you want to start questioning every vet's medals, then you go ahead and do that. But then we're going to question who you are, which you're already doing, and you're not credible.
Well, you know that woman from, what is it, Comedy Cellar? Was that where this happened?
Yeah.
Well, remember, she got this from the New York Post.
I know, that's the other thing. I'm sitting there reading
the
Post. It's one of those moments you're like, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? Why do I get... But she believes that the editorials are terrific. It's just like my father in the sense that, like, it's not a matter of truth. A lot of these, you know, Republican-oriented or right-leaning, you know, sort of corporate-occupied outlets of propaganda, they make people feel good in their hate. It's very when you're narrow-minded and refuse to engage in a broader perspective and somebody validates that by focusing your hostility, it's a very rewarding thing. My father did not realize that Fox News was BS. Just didn't realize it. He thought, you know, it felt good to him to watch it because it seemed focused and hostile and, you know, and tough. And he just didn't make the connection until I told him. And now I talked to him on the phone. He's like, it's amazing since you told me that it's propaganda that now I really see how unbalanced it is. And I don't know why I never saw that. Because he wasn't thinking in those terms. It just felt good to have his anger focused.
Well, see, this is why Rupert Murdoch continues to subsidize the New York Post. The New York Post doesn't make a dime. It costs 25 cents, half the cost of any of the other papers in New York. And the bottom line is he has it and keeps it, except for the New York Sun. But half of the reason why he keeps it is to be a player in New York politics.
Uh-huh.
That's why he keeps that newspaper going. It's not because of any sense of altruism, any sense of the search for truth, and certainly not because the paper makes him a dime.
Yeah.
It is because he knows that he can feed those very things that you talked about, and that's what he wants to do.
But what I don't understand is where these guys draw the line. Why does somebody like Rupert Murdoch, because there's plenty of people with a lot of money and a lot of power in the world,
that are not pro-Bush? Why do you think somebody like Rupert Murdoch, why did they make these choices? He's obviously not a religious guy.
No.
You know, he's not a guy that, you know, believes in, we don't know what his cultural points of view are. You know, I guess...
Well, if you look at his network, you might question what his cultural point is.
But him as an individual, I really wonder who the hell he really is. Is this just about money to him? Is it really about the bottom line? Is he, you know, facilitating these propaganda outlets only because it makes him some money? I know the Post doesn't, but it certainly supports the money that he's making on Fox.
Oh, yeah, he's making all the other stuff. I mean, look, the guy has a worldwide media empire, a lot of which has nothing to do with politics.
Right.
He owns Sky Sports, which is the channel that, in Britain that broadcasts almost every British soccer match there is.
So I guess on some level that the Bush administration facilitates the type of ideology that makes him the most money.
And, I mean, most of his newspapers are, no matter where they are in the world, are unabashedly right wing.
It's so weird. I saw him in a movie once with his kid.
Lachlan.
One of them, yeah.
Yeah.
And the wife.
Son.
Yeah. And his young wife.
Current wife?
Yeah.
Okay.
This was not that long ago. It was like during the day. It was one of those things where there's like 12 people in the theater. I wish I could remember the movie, but it wasn't even that. The movie wasn't indicative of anything. But like, you know, when you're in a movie lobby and I'm like, oh my God.
Was it a Fox movie?
Yeah, probably. I don't know.
Checking up on his investment.
But the truth of the matter is, he could see whatever movie he wanted in his private screening room like that. But he must have been out in New York with his kid at a movie theater. And it's so weird, those moments you have where, in your head, after never seeing the guy, this guy's one of the great evils. He's one of the great powerful Satans in the world. He's one of the great misleaders of men, you know, on a global level, one of the richest people in the world. And there he is, sitting, you know, just standing there in his droopy pants, a little old guy, about 5'4", with his kid. And I'm like, that's Satan? It's all, you know what I mean? It's always weird to see them in real life that, you know, they're just these, you know, these kind of like, you know, just, you know, skin and bones, dude.
Do you know who actually helped him get the waiver necessary to start his media empire in the States?
Enlighten me, Riley.
Ted Kennedy.
Really?
Ted Kennedy.
I guess he had no idea what
he
was
owned a station. He owned a TV station in Boston, and he wanted to buy one of the Boston newspapers, and at the time, that was taboo.
I'd like to talk to Ted Kennedy about that decision, how he feels in retrospect.
Yeah.
So what are we going to talk about on the other side of this break, bro?
Well, we're going to talk about the Shalabis and Allen Keys.
Okay, we'll talk to you in a minute on Air America Radio.
So by now you know that XM Satellite Radio has over 120 channels of 100% commercial-free music, plus news, sports, and talk this year. But do you know about the Delphi XM Rode 2, the smallest and lightest satellite radio ever? It even has a stock ticker that you can customize with up to 20 of your favorite stocks, and a built-in wireless audio adapter so you can easily listen to it through any car or home stereo. All for less than $130. XM Satellite Radio. Required $9.99 monthly subscription and hardware sold separately. Activation fee applies.
I was cheering when Amanda took her first step the other day, but ever since, I've been running after her in a permanently bent over position, and now my back is really hurting.
What should you take for back pain? Truth is, doctors recommend the medicine in Advil most for back pain.
Every day she's gonna get a little faster, and I'll be right behind her. Amanda! Here we go again.
Talk to your doctor. For back pain relief, advance to Advil Relief.
It's time to yell at your boss. Not for all those extra hours he's making you work, or that you're totally underappreciated and underpaid, but because you're tired of listening to the same 10 songs from Light FM over and over again in the workplace. Tell him to get the Serious Business Plan. For only $24.95 a month, you get a 500,000 tunes, royalties included. You already love Serious. Enjoy it all day long. Details at Sirius.com under business subscriptions or call 888-539-SIRIUS.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
The author of a new book called Where Have I Gone Right? The Right Mountain Guide to Getting the Job and Life You Want is Jim Hayhurst. You have to choose between often the reality of the rent that's due on the first of the month and your desire to ignore that and go for the brass ring.
There is a reality that happens, and if you are, you know, if you have to make the rent due at the end of the month, it is pretty darn difficult to change your careers dramatically. And those that have done it tend to have saved up some money and given themselves a little breathing space. There was some research done in New York that said that the average length of time out of work had gone from 13 weeks to 18 weeks over the last 4 years. So if you want to make a significant change, you certainly have to count on, you know, 4 or 5 months. To change jobs.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
In today's world, all voices must be heard. That's why our local Optimist Club sponsors an oratorical contest for local young people. The contest lets kids gain experience in public speaking.
If I could change the world.
It inspires today's youth to motivate and inform others through the art of public speaking. And it gives them an opportunity to compete for college scholarships. The Optimist Oratorical Contest.
You can make a difference, too.
Bringing out the best in kids.
Good morning, geniuses. It's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hi.
My brain is starting to work a little bit. I think I've got the presidential Palm Pilot here. I do.
Yes, you do.
It came in earlier today, and now I just found it again. This is from Ramon, who now apparently is, he apparently in the Oval Office, he lays around naked on the desk and stuff, and you know what I mean?
Yeah. I thought he was the official greeter or something.
No. He's still under cover, kind of.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So here's the president's schedule for today. 8 a.m., wake up, stay on message. Ahmed Chalabi? Never heard of him. 10 a.m. Participate in an Ask President Bush event, Northern Virginia Community College. Have Karl Rove plant someone in the audience to ask, how can we ever thank you? 1:15 p.m. Meet with Prime Minister of Poland. Important. It's Poles, not Polacks. 2 o'clock p.m. Lunch with Polish Prime Minister. Conversation icebreaker. So, just how many of your people does it take to screw in a light bulb? A lot of confusion over here about that. I love that line. A lot of confusion over here about that. 2:10 p.m. Talking points. How do you get a one-armed Pollock out of a tree? CIA operatives tell us that you wave to him. 4 p.m. Go to fridge to admire the 38-inch fish Jenna caught over the weekend. It's official, folks. We're winning the war on bass. 6 p.m. Accused fish of flip-flopping. Accused fish. Sorry. 10 p.m. Sorry. Hello. Is this on? Accused. Can we? 10 p.m. Bedtime. Brilliant idea. To court black vote, suggest Rick James be buried at Arlington. Bitch.
Oh, no. You've done it now.
I think he just hung up. I'm not going to be part of this. So we've been talking about Alan Keyes.
Alan Keyes is getting ready to run, or actually has accepted the nomination to run, as the Republican candidate from the state of Illinois. Wow. Never mind that he is from the state of Maryland, but one person who is from the state of Illinois is the founder and director of the Rainbow Push Coalition. He's talking to us now live from North Carolina. A pleasure to welcome to our microphones the Reverend Jesse Lewis Jackson Sr. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. Lots of excitement in Illinois today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there'll be lots of excitement in New York in just a few days.
Yeah.
Because if they're going to acquit Alan Keyes and Barack Obama, I suppose this means that they're going to invite Keyes to be the keynote speaker for the Republican convention.
Are they really?
You're kidding.
And Bush will be in Illinois campaigning for Alan Keyes as chair of the Barack. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Now, Reverend, I know that you know Alan Keyes' history. Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Alan Keyes back in the mid-1970s take six figures from the apartheid government of South Africa to act as either a lobbyist or a spokesperson?
Well, I don't know. You know, he's been, you know, his politics are obviously what they are. It's a bit bizarre that they would, in desperation, bind him in from Maryland to run against Barack, but I suppose it's legal if it's going to happen. What is the motivation? Yet, this is another question. He immediately in today's papers will not know his way around Illinois, so it's kind of strange to that extent. But back to my central point again, if there, I mean, those would make equate Clarence Thomas and Thurgood Marshall, you know, as interchangeable is kind of sinister. And equating Barack Obama and Keyes is sinister. But if Republicans are committed, I saw Fitzgerald standing behind him yesterday in Illinois, so I think they should invite their guy to speak at their convention. And President Bush campaign for their guy.
Uh-huh.
Is that any reasonable to you?
It sounds reasonable to me. I don't know if it's going to happen, that's for sure. Do you think he's going to get some FaceTime at the Republican convention?
Assuming that this is a part of their outreach program, you'd expect that you would see, Colin Powell and President Bush out of the campaigning for him.
Come on, do you think they're really, he's not really behind them, though? I mean, this is just something they've obviously convinced this guy to do this because
they need somebody. They don't want Barack Obama to run unopposed.
If he is the official candidate for Senate from Illinois, you should expect the official Republican Party to invite. He's not running as a third party. He's not running as, he's running as the official candidate of the party. He should expect to get President Bush's support.
So if he doesn't...
He should expect to speak at the convention, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, if he doesn't, what would that mean to you?
I don't know what it means to me. None of it means real much to me. I'm trying to think the logic of it.
Right? Oh, I see what you're saying.
This is bizarre to me as it is to you. I'm trying to go with the flow. This is a classic case of a guy with one arm in a tree. You want somebody to wave at him. I mean, I heard all that stuff.
Well, we're all baffled here as well, Reverend Jackson. Really appreciate it.
I think that on the serious note that he'll probably be attacking Barack.
Right, but
and trying to mobilize the hardcore Republican constituents in Illinois. He'll be trying to raise money from hardcore Republicans from around the country. So in some sense, this will be, a measurement of a certain element of the Republican Party.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Because we had a guy call earlier that said he was at the rally last night and that there was a very large contingent of extreme Christian right anti-abortionists at the rally, but not many other people.
Well, I saw Senator Fitzgerald
behind
him in the press conference yesterday. Again, I repeat, if this is just a guy who's kind of announcing in the primary, I'm going to run, and you say, well, this guy's an extremist. This guy, he's the official candidate of the Republican Party. At the time that President Bush apparently is indicating he would support Clarence Thomas to be Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, this is a consistent.
Right. Well, I will see what happens, Reverend Jackson. Thanks so much for calling us.
We appreciate it, Reverend.
Thank you.
You take care.
So he's saying that we'll see just how committed they really are to this guy, when and if.
I guarantee you this.
Yeah.
They will not give him too much FaceTime at the Republican convention.
Yeah,
they're not going to make any room for Alan Keyes.
I don't think they'll have any. I mean, the guy doesn't have much credibility. I mean, it just seems like they threw him up there and he was willing to be thrown up there.
But, see, the thing is, they don't want Alan Keyes' message. Just like they learned a lesson from allowing Pat Buchanan to do a primetime speech at the Republican convention back in 92.
Right.
A lot of people thought that the Republicans slid downhill from the minute they allowed Buchanan a forum.
Right.
They are not going to allow, and they denied him a forum, by the way, in 1996. They are not going to give Alan Keyes that forum in 2004. I don't care what he's
So what don't I know about this guy? I mean, if is he that extreme? I mean, I don't, am I not...
He is a shill for a type of America, Mark Maron, that you would not be comfortable living in.
But how extreme is he? I mean, I obviously haven't done my homework
He is
yet.
Vigorously anti-abortion. He is vigorously pro-gun. He is vigorously anti-affirmative action, although that flies in the face of reality given his current situation. Alan Keyes is... far to the right of George W. Bush.
All right, so he's sort of an overcompensating Republican rightist.
Yeah, and he's also, I mean, this was a guy who spearheaded the constructive engagement wing of the Ronald Reagan White House when he was in government. Okay, he was the one that said, well, we can make common cause with the South Africans. There's no real big problem with apartheid. That was Alan Keyes in the mid-1970s when Nelson Mandela was still in jail.
Well, we got Paul, a trucker in Wyoming, on the phone. How are you, Paul? Quickly.
Hey, Paul.
What's going on?
Nothing.
Hey, what's going on today, guys?
No, we're all right. You?
You guys got the greatest show.
Oh, thanks.
Unbelievable.
Appreciate it,
hey,
Paul.
Hey, I believe that one of the reasons that this guy is running, he's already lost a few elections, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you go back in an article, and I believe it was Newsweek, but I'm not positive, about David Duke.
Yeah.
David Duke, the Klan guy, kept running for office, kept losing.
Yeah.
In this article, he said flat out, it was making him a vast amount of money getting private donations and envelopes.
Sure.
from little old people and right-wing zealots.
So you're
they didn't want anybody to know they were donating.
We got to get out of here, Paul. So you're saying he's in it for the money?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, that's what we said at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
That
Alan Keyes, you've been saying that the whole night. Yeah.
Straight up hopeful.
Thanks
month.
For calling, Paul. Appreciate it. Sorry to cut you off there.
Coming up, you on the telephones, 866-303-2270. Plus, Recovery Corner, the Liberal Agenda, and so much more here on Air America Radio.
You work hard, and you put in extra hours at the office, but you're not getting ahead in your career. Well, here's an idea. Maybe the best place to put in extra hours isn't at work. Instead, try earning your college degree via the Internet at University of Phoenix Online. A college degree continues to provide greater opportunity, responsibility, and reward. And by working just 15 to 20 hours a week at University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree in just 2 to 3 years. At University of Phoenix Online, we offer bachelor's and master's degree programs in business, management, accounting, marketing, IT, healthcare, criminal justice, education, nursing, and more. The fact is, it's better to spend a few years working on your college degree than to spend a lifetime working without it. Before you know it, you'll have the expertise and credentials you need to excel in your field. Call University of Phoenix Online today at 1-800-624-1890. That's 1-800-624-1890.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. There are indications now that elements of the radical Shia Muslim cleric Muqtada al-Sadr may be having a change of heart with respect to loyalty. Reports say some of his militiamen are thinking twice about the ongoing violence and are considering giving peace a chance. Pakistani officials notified American intelligence that al-Qaeda operatives were planning on using tourist helicopters in New York to stage their next attack. The Pakistani government caught wind of the purported plans and their latest arrest of an al-Qaeda suspect. Two American soldiers and their Afghan interpreter were killed when a bomb hit their vehicle yesterday, capping yet another bloody week in the country. The surge of violence comes just as the nation is getting ready to go to the polls to elect a new government. And Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry is now in Arizona on his whistle stop tour of the West. Early, he made a pledge to American Indians in New Mexico, saying he'll honor treaties and consult with them about health care. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Serious. Final question. This is the only place you can hear every NFL game every week, wherever you are. Jeff, you disgust me. AM, sorry. Judy, obviously not an NFL fan. FM, sorry. Teddy, you answered Sirius. Absolutely correct, and our new champion.
The first game of the season kicks off with the Hall of Fame game between the Broncos and the Redskins, Monday at 8 Eastern, only on Sirius NFL Play-by-Play. Check out all the local play-by-play action on 123 and 124.
This is Earth and Sky for Saturday, August 7th. Today, the planet Mars reaches its aphelion.
That's Mars' farthest point from the sun. We're now only 6 weeks from another important point in Mars' orbit. The winter solstice in the southern hemisphere of Mars will come on September 20th, according to earthly calendars.
Earth's orbit is nearly circular. Our distance from the sun doesn't affect our summer and winter much, but Mars' distance from the sun varies more. Right now, Mars is about 20% farther from the sun than it was when it was summer in the Martian southern hemisphere. Mars is always farthest from the sun during the southern winter. That's why this season is the coldest on the entire globe of Mars.
For example, Mars' south polar ice cap, composed of carbon dioxide that's now freezing like snow out of the Martian air, has been known to extend halfway to Mars' equator in the depths of winter in this planet's southern hemisphere. Amateur astronomers using small telescopes love to look for the growth of this ice cap, but for now they'll have to rely on images from spacecraft orbiting Mars to tell us how large it gets. That's because we can't see Mars from Earth now. It's behind the sun from us and won't return to our sky until November.
For today, that's our show. Thanks to Research Corporation, a foundation for the advancement of science. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Thank you.
Hey, good morning. It's Monday. Looks like we're taking some calls at 866-303-2270, 866-303-2270. I'm trying to get organized here. So, why don't we just take a call?
Yeah, then? Let's take some calls.
Jennifer in Wisconsin. How are you, Jennifer?
Hi, Jennifer.
Hey, good morning.
How you doing?
I'm fine. I cannot believe it's Alan Keyes. You know, I think that Rick James died when he heard Alan Keyes was going to rock.
That must have been what did it.
Yeah.
So what do you think? What should we do about him?
I think we should mostly just ignore him.
Yeah, I think that's what everyone's going to do.
He's obviously just another wedge issue that's being foisted upon the public, you know, and this time they're doing it to the Sibs.
Yeah.
I thought she was saying wedgie. I was just
no. But yeah, I think you're right. I think most people are going to ignore it. I think it makes him look lame and ridiculous.
I think he's going to play really well in the southern parts of the state.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do.
Oh.
Yeah,
well, you know, that was Fitzgerald's stronghold was in the southern part of the state. But, you know, there ought to be a question that people ought to ask themselves. Fitzgerald could have, I assume, theoretically run for re-election. If they couldn't find anybody else, why didn't they go to Fitzgerald and say, hey, gee, why don't you just run for another term?
Yeah.
He'd only been there for one term.
I wonder why.
Oh, I'm sorry, maybe two terms. Let me see. He ran against Carol Moseley Braun in 96.
That's all right. We can work it out.
I'm trying to compute it in my head over here.
Well, let's take another call while you're thinking. Greg in North Carolina, how are you?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Hey, Greg.
Good. What's on your mind, man?
I heard another one of those Swift Boat veterans talking about John Kerry.
Yeah.
This one said John Kerry had committed atrocities in Vietnam.
Yeah, he said that himself,
that's the one I'm talking about.
Right. Well, the thing was, is these guys are bitter, you know, because I think a lot of these guys are bitter at him for characterizing.
No, Mark, I'm talking John Kerry said he committed atrocities in Vietnam.
Yes.
So why don't we believe him as a Swift Boat veteran when he says he committed atrocities, but we don't believe these other guys when they say that he did bad things in Vietnam?
Right.
Well, mainly because none of them were on the boat with him.
Okay, but you believe John Kerry when he says he committed atrocities.
Well, he's got no reason to lie. I mean, if he's admitting to doing something bad, that's one thing. But for other people to accuse him without actually having firsthand knowledge of his doing something bad, that's something, again, don't you think?
But wait, they're also not accusing Kerry of committing atrocities. They're accusing Kerry of being a number of things, a coward, as somebody who that didn't deserve his medals because of the injuries, of what they thought was not a real injury. They're accusing him of... They're accusing him of a lot of things, and one of them is not committing atrocities. The thing is, like, none of these guys were on the boat with John Kerry. Some of them were 50 yards away. Some of them, you know, just served at the same time he did. And his admission of committing atrocities was in relation to his conscience after he returned in terms of working with the veterans against the war, which is what these guys are really bitter about.
Yeah.
It amazes me that people are going to get hung up on this issue. Let's say hypothetically that the first Purple Heart, maybe that injury wasn't as grave as people would expect from a war hero, though that doesn't matter. Any injury qualifies somebody for a Purple Heart, and that in order to get that award, it must be done, you know, reviewed
by the service.
It wasn't just made up. So now that's just one Purple Heart out of three and a Bronze Star, correct? All right, so what difference does it all make? These guys obviously have an axe to grind. It has nothing to do with John Kerry's performance in the war. All right? It has nothing to do with that. It's completely political. These guys are bought out. They're clearly bitter. Their souls are for sale, obviously. And the one dude, O'Neill, he was hired by Charles Colson under Nixon to defame this guy, to defame Kerry, you know, for his involvement in the veterans against the war. So it's these guys are bitter people that, you know, clearly are resentful, they're jealous, and they're sold out.
Well, suppose, let's put the shoe on the other foot for a second.
Yeah.
Let's say that a Democrat came out who was billeted to the Texas Air National Guard in the early 1970s.
Right.
And said he never saw George W. Bush show up for a day's worth of work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, he didn't serve in the same company as George W. Bush, didn't take flight training with George W. Bush, none of that.
Right.
But he could say, well, I never saw George W. Bush. How much credibility would that person have? Especially if they took out an ad and said, hey, I was in the Texas National Guard, and I never saw George W. Bush.
Some of these guys who are a part of this Veterans for Truth, the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth, two of them, I think, supported Kerry in a senatorial race. A lot of them have waffled in their statements. This guy Hoffman has waffled in his statements. We've got actually the second installment of the Swift Boats for Truth ads. Can we play that, Chris?
If you have any question about what John Kerry's made up, just spend 3 minutes with the men who served with him.
John Kerry? He bad.
John Kerry bad.
I don't like him.
John Kerry bad.
John Kerry loses. Me no like John Kerry.
He not good.
John Kerry's my poop fire truck.
John Kerry not good.
Kerry no good.
Bad.
I don't like John Kerry.
John Kerry took my shoe.
Swift Boat Veterans for Truth is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Okay, stay on the line, folks. We'll take your calls on the other side of this here on Air America Radio. Hey, check us out at morningsedition.com where you can blog, email, and waste lots of time at work looking at our links.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Jim Brewer.
Unleashed.
Raw Dog, Friday night, 6 p.m. Jim Brewer Unleashed with my good friend Pete Corielli and the gang. There'll be no strippers.
There'll be no cinnamon.
There'll be no hookers.
Hey, Daddy.
There'll be no bitches. There'll be no delinquents.
I'm off the leash.
What's up?
How's about your ass?
Here, come over there and punch you in the snot box, Charlie. Come hang out. Jim Brewer Unleashed, Friday night, 6 p.m.
Raw Dog.
Where what that?
Sirius 147.
Remember those back-to-school jitters? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Well, your kids are probably feeling them too. So, if possible, arrange your schedule so you can be home to send your kids off for the first day of school. Make it a special morning. Have their favorites for breakfast. Put an encouraging note on the bathroom mirror. Before they head out the door, give them a big hug and tell them how much you love them. Help your kids overcome those jitters by being there. Visit FamilyMinute.net for free back-to-school resources. And remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
All right, you 4 years old son, ready for the big leagues. Put your bat on, buddy. There you go, helmet.
Silly hat.
Okay, that's right, with thigh guards. Now don't forget your mouth guard. You don't want to be losing teeth in your first game. Well, they're baby teeth, but put it in it.
Daddy.
Don't let them worry you. They may be over 200 pounds and kind of mean looking, but you're ready for them. Just run through them. Here's the ball. Run!
Daddy?
Don't look at me. Run with it. Go, boy. Run!
But I could get hurt.
No pain, no gain. Now run!
Ow!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult. So why put them in adult seat belts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
You should have straight-armed them.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Hey everybody, Jamie Lee Curtis here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. What should you do to stop a friend from driving if they've been drinking? Answer, whatever it takes. Think before you drink. Designate before you celebrate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, friends don't let friends drive drunk.
Yeah. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council. Yeah.
Hey, 866-303-2270. It's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hi.
Sitting to my left, it's Chris on the board. Got Larson in the studio with Brendan. Got Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman of New Jersey, in the other room doing the big research. I don't know if he's put Pashman's picks up on the link site today, but he will. Oh, what else? We've got your calls coming in, and I see you all waiting there, but now I have to do this first. I'm Mark, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, right, Mark.
And in Recovery Corner, I reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober. As always, I offer counsel to my sponsee, George W. So, George, today's my fifth anniversary, buddy. Fifth anniversary of sobriety. All right, I'm not expecting a parade. I know you've been doing it a lot longer. Not necessarily better, but longer. But, hey, I'm not going to take your inventory, pal. Maybe I will in a minute, actually. I've learned and done a lot of things in the past 5 years, and one of the most important things I did, honestly, was make an amends, especially to family members, okay? I noticed you were up in Kennebunkport over the weekend with your dad. I know you've got some unresolved stuff there. It's no secret, man. It manifests itself as unilateral invasions, the whole Crawford Cowboy shtick, dressing up in flight suits. Look at my codpiece, Daddy. We're in some deep waters now, my friend. And, of course, you despise him. He actually fought in a war, was a success in business, and became president by a popular vote. And then he had the audacity to bail you out of every single mess you ever made. How are you ever supposed to become a man? Do you understand what I'm saying, George W.? I only mention it because the entire planet is paying for your unresolved issues with your father. You understand? So sit down with the old man, hash it out. Okay, I did. Make an amends, all right? It's for you to get it off your chest. He'll probably tell you Jeb is his favorite, but isn't it better to hear it from his own lips, all right, to put this stuff to rest? All right, so remember, keep the plug in the jug. There's no chemical solution to a spiritual problem. Bend your knees before you bend your elbows. Sorrow is looking back. Worry is looking forward. If you got one foot in yesterday, the other foot in tomorrow, you're peeing on today. Don't drink. Get to a meeting.
All right.
That's that. So let's take a call here. Charlie in Chicago. What's going on, Charlie?
Oh, I'm fine. It's good to hear you, Mark. I'm also a great American patriot that's on the blog there.
All right.
Oh, hey, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, man, there's so many things here. We've got Alan Keyes. He's swirling around on all the channels here in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
It's almost like a nightmare, and I'm a Christian too, and I don't understand this. But anyway, you did hear that they're selling his sweat, Alan Keyes' sweat,
on eBay. Yeah.
And the anchor here at Fox in Chicago was joking on the air and said, "What we got to do is turn the heat up in the studio here and collect our own sweat so that we can make some money and sell it on eBay."
I'd be surprised if anyone bought it, and I'd like to know the schmo that bought Alan Keyes' sweat.
What did
that possibly mean?
Yeah, it's a sweaty handkerchief, so the sweat must have evaporated sooner or later anyway, unless they keep it in perfect condition.
So let me ask you something. Are you still there?
No, he's gone.
Well, that was kind of interesting to put a voice to a name on the
great
blog.
American patriot.
And he's always up there. He's been giving a lot of input on the blog. If you want a blog, you can go to morningsedition.com and meet Great American Patriot there.
And Jared from Chicago.
And Jared,
a lot of Chicago people.
He had BK and Dirt Girl.
Jared's personal favorite.
I just want to ask him, is he there? Is he back? Hey, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
Hey, buddy. So, wait, as a Christian, you know, what do you think of people like Alan Keyes? What do you think of the Bush administration in terms of their theology?
Oh boy, what a question. I just don't think they're true to Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, if you believe in Jesus,
yeah.
Jesus never said anything about homosexuals.
Right.
I don't think Jesus ever said anything about abortion. He was talking about love and your fellow man
and rising above and justice.
So you know it really baffles me, but I have done some work with some of those people, but none as extreme as this guy. With what the two things that come to mind when I hear him is, gee, this guy's like an American Taliban.
Yeah.
And what's eerie, I don't know, maybe you can bring up some of the old audio. But it's eerie that he sounds kind of like Jim Jones.
Wow.
So I haven't heard those tapes in a while. But thanks a lot. Thanks for calling, Charles.
We appreciate you, Charles.
Yeah, I remember those tapes of Jim Jones.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you hear those?
Yeah.
I wonder if he has that culty sort of, a lot of people think that Jim Jones was definitely connected to the CIA. He had some affiliation with the government. Some people think that he was sent to Guyana with his congregation to test out some mind control program that the CIA was putting into place, and it all backfired because of his megalomania. Yeah, I know way too much about that.
Yeah, charismatic, but he wouldn't have sold me on nothing.
Right, and probably not enough, because like, even though I just said what I just said, and very few people would really know that, you know that someone on the blog is going to go, actually, Jim Jones. But if Mark wanted to be correct in this, I love you guys. Come on, morningsedition.com. Sarah in New Jersey, what's going on?
Hi, Sarah.
Hi there. Hi. I just wanted to ask you, because
I'm definitely for Gary, and I'm, you know, a strong supporter, but my boyfriend is waffling, and a big, you know, it's just that one of his reasons is that he's not that impressed with, you know, Kerry's Senate record. And to be honest, I doubt that he really knows that much about his record, but the problem is I don't know that much about his record either. So I just was kind of like, I mean, you know, basically I need some ammunition.
Ah.
Okay.
I think Mark may have the, let me see if I can, loaded here.
Let me see if I can help you. The Bush camp claims that Kerry opposed a list of mainstream military hardware vital to winning the war on terror. The Bush campaign bases its claim mainly on Kerry's votes against overall Pentagon money bills in 1990, 1995, and 1996, but these were not votes against specific weapons. See, a lot of people don't realize, I mean, they're trying to portray him as some sort of strange, you know, kind of, you know, ultra-liberal, but because he's been in the Senate so long, a lot of the things that he's voted on, you know, they evolve over time, so in order to get, you know, really nuts and bolts specifics of each Senate that he actually voted in, you'd have to, you know, you'd have to do your own research. Bush had single-out body armor as something Kerry specifically voted against. He actually voted against an $87 billion emergency supplemental appropriation bill in which body armor funds amounted to about one-third of 1% of the bill. See, so some of the accusations they make against Kerry for specific items were part of overall bills that he was basically against this appropriation, that much money entirely, because he felt it to be unwarranted, not that he was against specific body armor. See, they make him look like somebody who was against the troops, but really he was against them using, you know, so much money without a clear definition of what it was for. In fact, Kerry voted for Pentagon authorization bills in 16 of the 19 years he's been in Senate. That makes him a supporter of vital weapons more than an opponent. Senator John McCain defended Kerry's voting record on military spending, quote, "I do not believe that he is, quote, weak on defense." That's from McCain. So if that's an issue that your boyfriend has, then there's something you can do. The Bush campaign accused Kerry of a pattern of trying to cut intelligence funding. Kerry proposed cuts in 1994 and 1995, hardly a pattern.
Yeah.
The 1994 proposal that Bush criticizes would have amounted to a reduction of roughly 1%. Senior congressional Republicans supported a cut two-thirds as large at the time. So the thing that to do is, in doing this homework, is realize that anything that Republicans say is meant to slander and demean Kerry, not to evoke, you know, any truth.
Well, they're
and,
also, yeah.
And Bush himself threatened to veto the $87 billion.
That's right. And we're going to hear more and more of this as we run up to the Republican convention, because as we told you a couple of weeks ago, the Republicans, unlike the Democrats, are going to go super negative on John Kerry.
And you can also just tell your boyfriend that John Kerry has actually had a career in politics.
Yes.
You know, not just as a governor with a temporary legislature of a state, that was big, and I don't want to say anything bad about
Texas.
No, because there's some good people there.
One or two.
All right, we'll be back in a minute on Air America Radio.
The Radio Shack Dictionary of Gizmos. Today's definition, the long life doodad, as described by Vanessa Williams.
It's the gizmo that can keep your smoke alarms working longer. Because climbing up to replace those things isn't exactly fun.
So at Radio Shack, when you ask for
those long life doodads,
we'll show you our lithium 9-volt smoke alarm battery. And you'll get peace of mind knowing it'll last up to 10 years. So come in for easy answers to all your electronic accessory needs.
I'll take a long life doodad over a short life doodad every time.
Radio Shack. You've got questions, we've got answers.
Charts and graphs, love making charts and graphs.
No afternoon slump here.
High charts, low charts, bar graphs too. Hey, it's only 5 after 2.
Huh, that rhymes. Thanks to the Doldrum Fighting Harvest Bar. Real fruit and healthy energy from whole grains, fiber, protein, and vitamins. In 10 tempting flavors like rich toffee chocolate chip and pleasing strawberry.
Cover sheet. Turn it upside down. Dial the number. Press send.
Thanks, thanks. Harvest Bar from Power Bar. Skip the slump. Be great.
Final question. This is the only place you can hear every NFL game every week, wherever you are. Jeff, you disgust me. AM, sorry. Judy, obviously not an NFL fan. FM, sorry. Teddy, you answered Sirius. Absolutely correct. And our new champion.
The first game of the season kicks off with the Hall of Fame game between the Broncos and the Redskins Monday at 8 Eastern, only on Sirius NFL Play-by-Play. Check out all the local play-by-play action on 123 and 124.
Ever seen a hornet, Shelly?
No, ma'am.
Oh, well, you're fine. What are you waiting for? They've built a nest outside your window. See?
No.
You will when you climb 15 feet up this ladder to get rid of them. Take this insecticide and broom and send those stinging meanies packing.
What if I fall? I could get hurt.
Oh, you know about gravity already. You're so smart. Oh, go, 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 go. The hornets are waiting.
Shoo, get away.
Ah! Limit them to your hornet canine get noises. Yeah, try not to swallow too many.
Get away.
Now, knock that nest out of the park.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seat belts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
I can't see! Are they biting me?
Oh, that's so cute. No, honey, hornets don't bite, silly. They sting.
Ow!
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
This therapy session is almost over, Bob. Now, the problem?
I was in a car accident. I want my car fixed right, but where? Please, help me!
You're scaring me, Bob.
Wait, I've got it. iCar Gold Class Professionals Businesses!
Great. They know how to fix your vehicle right. They have up-to-date training and keep up with the latest repair methods and technology. Visit the Gold Class Business Directory at www.i-car.com.
iCar, a not-for-profit organization, and the Gold Class Professionals Program are dedicated to training the collision industry to ensure complete and safe repairs.
There are lots of good people in Texas.
All right. I've met
several. I've done shows there. I've been to Houston. I had a good time. Been to Austin. Had a great time. You know, there's plenty. There's a type of Bush hater there that, you know, is unparalleled anywhere else in the world.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, because they had to deal with him almost longer than anybody has. So if you hated Bush when you were in Texas when he first became governor, mm-hmm. imagine the hate you feel now.
I just thought it was like Hightower, Molly Ivins, and Ann Richards. Those
There's definitely some real progressives in Texas, without a doubt.
You know, really?
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely. I got an email from a guy yesterday who I used to communicate with out there in Austin, especially in Austin. I want to tell Sarah, what you really ought to do to get a real description of the intricacies of a 20-year career in the Senate and the Kerry votes as opposed to what they're politicizing is go to johnkerry.com and have a look, because I'm sure all that stuff is up there. Also, I want to, as we get closer to the election, please urge any of you who still haven't registered to vote to do that.
Yes.
Because it's one of those things that gets away from you, and all of a sudden you're there, and it's like, well, it doesn't matter. I live in whatever state you live in. They're going to vote for whoever they're going to vote for. But it does make a difference. A popular vote makes a difference. There's a lot of undecided still out there, about 14-15%, but there's millions more unregistered. And I think the real surprise in this election is going to come out of the unregistered. The people who are unregistered right now, as they begin to register, it's going to make a difference. And don't look at the numbers. All the numbers are coercive. They're all politicized. You know, numbers and polls are very hard to go by. Don't even be bullied by it. Just go register and execute your obligation and your opportunity to vote in a new president.
There's a difference between being unregistered and undecided. Mm-hmm. And it's important for you. They don't poll the unregistered.
Yeah. So let's quickly get into this dude, Representative Rodney Alexander, a conservative Louisiana Democrat.
An early candidate for Morning's Edition Dog of this week.
Unexpected victory in a GOP-leaning district 2 years ago, decided Friday to seek re-election as a Republican. Bam!
Good riddance.
Right, you know, I mean, what? How does that happen? He can just change, and he's already campaigned. I don't understand.
In Louisiana, you can do that. He refiled as a Republican. He filed earlier in the week as a Democrat. In March, he told people that he was not going to switch parties. Now he's decided to do so. This is probably due to some work on the part of the National Republicans and Republicans in Congress to get him to switch parties. But good riddance. Now the margin is 229 to 205 Republicans and Democrats, which just means Democrats got a little bit more work to do.
But it's sneaky business because we couldn't get a candidate in there to go against them. There's not enough time, and they knew that. This is sneaky business. This is dirty politics. This is another example of how these Republicans work. I mean, they knew this was going on. This guy was on the fence for a while. He was a very right-leaning Democrat, but they brokered this deal. The timing is the way it is so they could guarantee themselves another seat, and they did it dirty, and they did it behind the backs of the people of Louisiana.
Nice work, Congressman.
Here's our liberal agenda, and we're coming in for landing here. So let's see. Get your notebooks. Here we go from the Streisand compound. One, have a friend drag you around in plastic handcuffs in preparation for the Republican convention. Two, float vicious rumor that Bush had Rick James killed to deflect attention away from Kerry's message. Three, insist that hacky sack be made an Olympic sport. Four, remember, your words and actions should always lend unwitting support to America's enemies. Five, drop this phrase in the conversation. No matter what anyone says, respond with, quote, maybe you should read some Noam Chomsky, and then we could talk, end quote. Have a great day.
Did you do that to that lady that heckled you with the at the comedy club?
Oh, yeah,
did you say, read
help.
Some Noam Chomsky?
Yeah, I would have to say, sit down and stop talking, and then listen to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Coming up on tomorrow's Morning's Edition, Mike Doughty in the studio, the former lead singer of Soul Coughing, is now working for Move On. Doughty, I'm sorry.
What
did I say? Doughty?
Mike Doughty.
Doughty. He's working for MoveOn.org, and we'll hear him talk about and play his newest work, Mike Doughty, on tomorrow's Morning's Edition here on Air America Radio. Have a good one, Maren.
Bye, Riley.